Back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing terrific. Thank you very much for the invitation.
We are so glad to have you on. We were at the victory party for you, and you were so happy, and I rightfully so.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, right up until you asked me to leave the party. You and Lucy, that was it.
Well, it was the dancing on the table that got you.
I thought so.
The TV cameras were there. It just didn't look right.
So. I got you.
The show on KRXA 540 AM.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bob Buss, live on Capitol Hill. Ending 10 years of Republican resistance, the Senate passed a bill to raise the federal minimum wage from $5.15 an hour to $7.25 over the next 2 years. Democrat Ted Kennedy.
Dignity of persons. That is what the increase in the minimum wage is about.
In the end, almost all Republicans voted for it, too, but only after Wyoming's Michael Enzi and others added in $8 billion in tax breaks for small business.
Small businesses have been the steady engine of our growing economy, and that they've been a source of new job creation.
The minimum wage bill passed by the House 3 weeks ago doesn't have those tax breaks, and that difference will have to be worked out. I'm Bob Buss, live on Capitol Hill. Now, with more CBS News, here's Harley Carnes.
You may be able to find some pretty good real estate deals in areas protected by levees. There's a reason for that. Think Lower Ninth Ward, New Orleans.
People living behind levees need to understand that they are at risk, that levees will eventually fail. There will be a storm big enough for a levee to fail, and the ones released today are certainly at a higher risk of failure because of maintenance issues.
That's FEMA's Butch Kinerney. He says 122 levees around the nation are in danger of breaching at just about any time. One-third of them are in California. They made the manful effort, that's to be sure. 14 men on a 60-foot yacht set out from Senegal, western coast of Africa, hoping to make it to the U.S. The boat was sinking when the crew of a merchant ship plucked them to safety in the stormy North Atlantic. Though they traveled more than 3,800 miles, they didn't make it to the U.S. They are expected to be deported. We've seen streets retaken in Baghdad. Now army engineers have begun clearing and building mini green zones, like forts, from which troops can operate as they stay in the neighborhoods they retake. CBS's Mark Noller at the White House.
Admitting the American people have a right to be skeptical about the president's new strategy on Iraq, spokesman Tony Snow says they want to see results, but he says they'll have to wait a while.
I won't give you an absolute timetable, but obviously the next 6 to 8 months are going to be times when people expect to see something happening.
Snow says it's a tricky question, but repeated the goal of Iraqi forces being in control of all of Iraq's 18 provinces a year from now.
In Boston, where two young men are charged with setting hoax devices in what was really a traffic-stopping advertising stunt, innocence the plea and they bonded out for $2,500. As for talking about it with reporters...
I want to redirect this onto the topic of haircuts in the 70s because I want to educate
myself.
Right.
Lawyers said they don't talk about the case, and they didn't. They insisted on talking about hair. One of them had a lot of it. Southern Baptists have given President Bush their Religious Liberty Award at a brief ceremony at the Oval Office. The honor goes annually to someone who courageously defends the right of all people to exercise freely their religious faith. On Wall Street, the Dow up 52 points, new record 12,673. The Nasdaq gained 4.5 points. This is CBS News.
Want to watch the football game of the year in high def? Office Depot can help with unbeatable prices on LCD and plasma HD TVs. Plus, Office Depot can deliver and install your TV. See store for details. Hurry into Office Depot or go online because these deals won't last long. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Whoa, Office Depot!
Hello, would you like to be more successful with the opposite sex? I'm Ted Baker, and my program can teach you how to attract a mate. Listen to this.
Ted told me about logging on to freecreditreport.com. I learned that my good credit could help me buy a car and a boat, and now chicks dig me.
My patented system could work for you, too. Log on to freecreditreport.com to get your free credit score and report. A nice condo could make you irresistible.
Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at freecreditreport.com. Get the score.
How do you board up the windows someday against the approaching storm of a killer flu pandemic?
Schools could close up to 3 months to deal with a catastrophic flu pandemic under new guidelines just released by the Centers for Disease Control. But the key to this plan is not jumping to such drastic steps without good reason. Flu outbreaks will be categorized like hurricanes to help health officials such as Dr. Paul Jarrus plan accordingly.
Development of pre-planned scenarios, which can be custom applied to the situation, is key.
The CDC says these reaction plans are needed because it could take 6 months to find a vaccine to counter a pandemic. Barry Bagnetto, CBS News, Washington.
Drinking from a bottle of hand sanitizer gel may be preferable to swigging Sterno, but it's a really, really bad idea. You can get a buzz, but it's the wrong kind of alcohol, and you can also get dead. Hand cleaner poisonings have been happening enough recently. The doctors have a warning in the New England Journal of Medicine. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Wires got you all tied up? Office Depot has the latest technology when you're on the go, like a huge selection of notebook computers, wireless printers, networking solutions, and mobile accessories. Hurry in. Office Depot has unbeatable prices on everything you need to go wireless. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Whoa, Office Depot!
Get 2 full days of store-wide savings at Kohl's 2-Day Sale this Friday and Saturday from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Save 40 to 60% on hundreds of new arrivals like Mrs. Sportswear, men's, juniors, and kids' apparel, family shoes, sheets, towels, frames, and more. Save 50% on select kitchen electrics and floor care. Plus, shop our Gold Star clearance merchandise and get incredible savings on select winter apparel and home items this Friday and Saturday only at Kohl's 2-Day Sale. Kohl's, expect great things.
You're going to love this. Just love it.
Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Couldn't be happier about it. This is Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen blogger, sitting in this afternoon, today, and tomorrow for the mighty Peter B. Collins, who's on vacation somewhere. Rumor has it he's in Miami. Be careful down there. I'm broadcasting, happy to say, from Phoenix, Arizona, 1480 KPHX, the Nova M flagship station. This is the flagship station, isn't it, Ian? Flagship station. We got a hell of a show for you coming for the next 3 hours. I hope you'll stay tuned out here. We've got, who do we have coming up? Man, we got more than we can fit in 3 hours. Tell Malloy he can come in an hour late tonight. Let him know. All right, we've got coming up very shortly, we're going to have Congressman Maurice Hinchey from New York talk about the Fairness Doctrine. We're going to have John Aravosis from AmericaBlog.com. We're going to have David Swanson talking about yesterday's hearings in the House. He was there. John Conyers' hearings on signing statements. We're going to have John Gideon talking about daily voting news. We're going to have, who do we have? Someone from VoteVets.org. It's not John Solds. We've got to figure out. Someone had to replace him at the last second. We're going to have him. We're going to have Margie Burns reporting from the Libby trial. She was there this afternoon, I understand. John Bonifaz is going to be talking to us about the case down in Florida, the Florida 13 election. Still disputed, by the way, in case you haven't noticed. Oh, man, we've got plenty to cover. And we want you to join us, if you can, get in between all of those guests. 1-888-5-PETER-B. That's 1-888-573-8372. As I say, I am Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigative blogger from bradblog.com. PBC fans may recognize me. I'm a frequent guest for Peter on Fridays, actually, the last hour of the day on Fridays. And so you may know me. I talk a lot about election reform issues with Peter, certainly on the blog. We do all kinds of bad guy stomping over at bradblog.com. As a matter of fact, I think I'm going to have to get an open thread up there, Desi. Remind me. We'll get an open thread over at bradblog.com. So you can give us your comments there or via brad@bradblog.com. And by the way, as we're going to be talking about the fairness doctrine in a bit, I'd love to hear from you if you agree with me. I'd love to hear from you if you think George W. Bush is a criminal and ought to be thrown out of office and put in jail. But I'd even like to hear from you more if you don't agree with me, if you think I'm full of it, and if you want to come on and give us the reason why. Whether I or any of our guests this afternoon are full of it, that's 1-888-5-PETER-B. One of the things I want to actually talk about that's going to sort of pervade the afternoon and evening here is, I'll tell you, the wheels are coming off this thing. You may not have noticed if you're watching Fox News or MSNBC or CNN or ABC, NBC or anything else, if you're not reading the blogs, if you're not really looking at what's going on out there, you may not have noticed, and that's one of the problems with the lack of the fairness doctrine that we're going to talk to Congressman Hinchey about. But I'll tell you, I noticed this about, I think it was Thursday or Friday of last week, and I started, I was looking over at the blogs, Talking Points, Memo. I was looking what's going on with the Libby trial. I was reading Ross story, all the actual news sources that give you news, not the stuff you get on CNN. And man, am I going to try to beat the crap out of them later. This Iran thing on CNN. Anyway, we'll get to that. But what I noticed over the last couple of days, week or so, the wheels are coming off. The noose is tightening. I don't care what they tell you. Impeachment is off the table, as Nancy Pelosi said before the election. John Conyers indicated something similar. But they may think it's off the table. I disagree. The heat is building. You've got these hearings that we're going to talk about later with David Swanson on these signing statements in the Judiciary Committee, now headed by the good John Conyers. He also announced earlier today, I believe, that they're going to be having hearings in that same Judiciary Committee on torture. Torture? Yes, we torture. Yes, we all know that. Is it reported by the mainstream media? Of course not. Will they be able to, will they have to report on it when it's in a public hearing, in John Conyers' hearing room? Well, we'll find out. They should. I'll report it. But I think the facts that are going to come out are going to be unavoidable. You've got Feingold over in the Senate Judiciary Committee looking at Congress's power to stop a war. You've got growing heat from the Senate over the Iraq escalation nonsense. You've got plummeting polls for Bush. This Libby trial, one thing after another is coming out. We're going to talk to Margie Burns about that a little bit later on. She's our special bradblog.com special correspondent. There's a lot of stuff coming out at that Libby trial. And the fact, in fact, yesterday we saw a handwritten note from Dick Cheney that implicates the prez, as he puts it, this prez, as trying to protect Karl Rove. Handwritten note, it's crossed out. You can actually look at the note over at bradblog.com. Truthout.org has it. It's clear that the White House was trying to protect Rove, but it seems to me that Libby doesn't give a damn about protecting anyone at this point other than himself. And what's clear, is becoming more clear, is that the president knew what was going on, despite his statements, despite those of Ari Fleischer, Scotty McClellan, all kinds of other people. You've got the situation with these U.S. attorneys now who are being fired by the Department of Justice. They're pushing them out, asking them to leave, bringing in new people of their own that do not have to be confirmed in the Senate because Arlen Specter snuck in this little provision into the Patriot Act while no one was looking. Did Specter know what he was doing? I don't know. Was he doing a favor for the White House? I don't know. But I suspect we're going to find out because folks in Congress, now that they've learned about it, are not happy. One of the things we've discovered because of that is that you can have a Senate confirmation hearing, approve one of these U.S. prosecutors that have been appointed by the Bush team, and then they can be removed, and you can bring in their own friends, their own cronies, who are not qualified for the job in any way, and they'll never face a Senate hearing. There is no Senate oversight.
at least as far as the Bush administration is concerned. That's a concern, and that is now coming out. You've got the Iraq Inspector General now, who's finding that there was waste and fraud in Iraq. Inspector General coming out saying we've wasted millions of dollars. Waxman's going to be having hearings on that. There's a Senate Intel report still to come, the one which Cheney has fought to stop. Well, that one is going to come, and it concerns the way the administration tried to manipulate the intelligence prior to the war. That's coming out in the Libby trial, too. So all of these things are sort of coming to a head right now. I think the noose is growing tighter, whether anybody has noticed or not. I have. The blogs have. And as usual, the rest of the media is just going to have to wake up and catch up with the rest of us. But it's happening, whether you realize it or not. And so we're going to talk a lot about that throughout the day. And I'm going to ask some of our guests whether they think Bush or Cheney and or Cheney are actually going to survive this term. I don't think they will. We're going to find out. We're going to come back with Congressman Maurice Hinchey, going to talk about the fairness doctrine. Because, frankly, the mess that I just described, all of these things that are happening, all of these things that should have been reported for the last 6 years haven't been reported. Why? Because we lost the fairness doctrine, because Ronald Reagan got rid of it in 1987, didn't think we needed it. Well, we're going to talk about that and a whole lot more as we continue for the next 3 hours on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your friendly citizen blogger, Brad Friedman, sitting in. We'll be back with the congressman right after this.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
So, where do you want to break the ice here or
do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Post Graduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
One Day Income Tax Service, family owned and operated since 1944, specializes in year-round professional tax preparation. Do you want your refund quickly? Stop by One Day Income Tax Service. They offer tax preparation at reasonable rates and work to meet the needs of military families with the capacity to process all out-of-state returns. If you prefer to prepare your own return at home, they can help you expedite your refund by filing your return electronically. Let One Day Income Tax Service assist you with your return and maximize your refund. Stop by 885 Broadway Avenue in Seaside, where no appointment is necessary. Looking for quick, professional, and reasonable tax return preparation? Visit One Day Income Tax Service, 885 Broadway Avenue, Seaside, or call 394-8010. That's 831-394-8010. One Day Income Tax Service, where you walk in with a copy of your most recent tax return, personal ID, and W-2 1099 info for 2006, and you walk out with your completed tax return.
To the Peter B. Collins Show. I don't know if video killed the radio star, but getting rid of the fairness doctrine made the radio star. At least guys like Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, Fox News, and all of those guys who wouldn't be there, I suspect, if it weren't for the death of the fairness doctrine by Ronald Reagan back in 1987. To talk about that and perhaps restoring it, we're joined by the progressive Democrat representing New York's 22nd district, as Colbert would say, the fighting 22nd. It's in his eighth term now. Congressman Maurice Hinchey is joining us to talk about the Media Ownership Reform Act, which may restore a lot of those things that have been done away with as of 1987. Congressman, thank you for joining us this evening.
Well, thank you, Brad, for having me on. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, I'll tell you, thanks much. I'll tell you, I back in 04, I got to tell you, I was not a huge fan of John Kerry, but I was hoping, if nothing else, that he would win so that I could start hammering on him and on the Democrats and everyone else to get this fairness doctrine restored. Now, give us an idea, Congressman, if you could. Why is this important, and do we have a chance of actually getting this back? Now the Congress is in the control of Democrats.
Well, we have a chance of moving it forward. And with the veto of the president, it's very unlikely, frankly, that we have a chance of passing it during this administration into law. But we do have an opportunity to advance it in the Congress. And if we are able to advance it in the Congress and it gets enough attention and the American people begin to understand what is really at stake here, then if we generate enough support, it's possible that it could be passed through the Congress and perhaps even signed into law by this administration.
With that kind
of public support.
Well, you mentioned that the President, George Bush, might want to veto it here. Now, why would George W. Bush be against this? Why would Fox News be against this? Because, after all, are you not calling for the restoration of fairness and balance in the media, something you would think Fox News and those guys would be in favor of, Congressman?
Well, they're really opposed to that, of course.
What?
As you know,
I had no idea.
They're not in favor of fair and balanced at all. What they're in favor of is a kind of a propaganda approach to the dissemination of information. To give you one particular point of view, framing it in different ways, but presenting the same perspective on the important issues that confront our country over and over again. And that's what we're facing here. And that's why the Fairness Doctrine was put into place. It was put into place after the Second World War. And in part, it was put into place based upon the experience of the Second World War. What we saw happening in Europe was the rise of fascism. Fascism in countries like Italy, Germany, Spain, other countries. And the way that the fascist governments were successful there was to dominate the communication system. Radio was a relatively new, pretty brand new medium in those days, back in the 1930s and 40s.
Right.
And the government of those countries and others in Europe were able to do was to control the broadcast system. And by controlling the broadcast system, they were able to present information that was distorted and one-sided over and over again to the people of those countries, and thereby force them in ways into believing the kinds of things that they were being presented.
So when the FCC put in the Fairness Doctrine or began enforcing it back in, I think it was 1949, was it actually 47. Was it in a direct response to what they saw going on over there in Europe with the government control of the stations out there?
Yes, it was. In part, it was based upon the experience of World War II and the way in which we saw governments being corrupted throughout Europe. And the idea was that if you have a democratic republic such as ours, the most important thing about sustaining a democratic republic is to have a free, open, and fair discussion of the issues, an opportunity for a broad diversity of opinions to be broadcast out so that people can hear them, understand them, and then make their own decisions upon based upon the information that they receive and what they know and believe and understand. But if you're getting the same thing over and over again, of course, then you control not just the information that people receive, but ultimately you control the ideas that they have and the behavior that people carry out based upon those ideas.
And do you suspect that we could have what we have today? That would it be possible? And actually, a two-part question here. First, I don't think the people understand that this was meant to regulate the public airwaves, and that stations, broadcast stations, are actually leasing the airwaves from the public station that is owned from the public airwaves that are owned by the American people. That's one question that I have. Do you think people understand that? And secondly, do you think we could have had folks like Rush and all of these guys were it not for the dissolution of the Fairness Doctrine?
Well, I think people do understand that, but I think it's something that has really faded from public view. Back in 1934, when the Federal Communications Commission was established, one of its basic premises was that the public broadcasting system was not owned by any individual or any corporation or any complex of individuals or corporations. The public broadcasting system was owned by the American people, by the general public. And in order to broadcast over it, you had to be licensed by the federal communication system. And by being licensed, you had to carry out your license in a way that was consistent with the benefit of the public. You had to provide information to them. You had to provide diversity, different points of view. If you had a political point of view and you were the owner of a radio station or a broadcaster on a radio station, you had every right to express that political point of view. But if others in the area to which you were broadcasting had other perspectives or other different points of view, there had to be some opportunity for those different perspectives and different points of view to be presented as well. You couldn't just feed out one idea over and over again, or one perspective over and over again, still be complying with the interest of the general public and our form of government, the Democratic Republic. So that's why the FCC was established, to make it clear that the broadcast spectrum was owned by the general public, and anyone who was licensed to broadcast over it had to conduct themselves in a way that was consistent with openness, with democracy, with freedom, and with the energy and proper perspective to provide various and different, even antagonistic, points of view.
Congressman, I've got to hit a hard break here. I know it's getting late out there. Are you able to stick with us for one more segment, or do you have to run?
No, I can stick with you for a few.
I'd love to have you. We got a caller coming up. Thanks. We're going to be right back. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. This is Brad Friedman with Congressman Maurice Henschy. More in about three.
From Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
This is Laura Pruneda of Pruneda Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneda Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneda Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneda of Pruneda Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to prunedarealestate.com.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a killer affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech. You have the right to worship as you choose. And when you disagree with Billy Sunshine, you have the right to be wrong.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM. Tune in Sundays 3 to 5.
Rockin', you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com, sitting in for the mighty PBC. We're speaking with Congressman Maurice Hinchey from New York's 22nd, the Fighting 22nd, and about the Fairness Doctrine. He is rocking the house, as far as I'm concerned, with the Media Ownership Reform Act. Congressman, has it? I know you you dropped the legislation last session. Have you yet filed the new version for the 110th Congress?
No, we have not. And what we're doing now is working with the Senate and with other members of the Congress in both houses to produce a bill that we can agree on and that will be introduced in both the Senate and the House so that it has a better chance of passing both houses. And we think that we're going to be able to do that. We had a meeting just the other day, in fact, in Washington, just yesterday, in fact. Where we talked about this, and we are now constructing that legislation based upon the bill that I introduced last year.
Are you able to tell us who you're working with in the Senate, sir?
Well, we're working with, well, a number of people. Byron Dorgan, we're working with
in other words,
Sherrod
I want to know
Brown,
who...
we're working with...
Sherrod Brown, good. I want to know who to support over there, because I think I got to tell you, I think nothing is more important, and folks overlook this, and I don't think they understand just how important this is. I don't know if you were listening earlier in the show, going through one thing after another that this administration has gotten away with for, you know, years. I don't think any of that stuff could have happened in the old days if there actually was fairness and balance out there. And I know your bill also is going to deal with the media conglomerate and the ownership of what, five huge media groups out there that seem to own just about the entire media. But I think this underscores really everything and the mess that we've gotten ourselves into. Am I off base there?
No, I think you make a very excellent point. We all across the country now, more and more people are finally, years later, beginning to understand how the administration manipulated information through the existing media and how much of the corporate-owned media was compliant with the administration in many ways and how it was very difficult to get an alternative point of view out there with regard to the information that the administration was presenting on the rationale for invading Iraq, for example, which is the classic example, because they, in fact, fabricated all of that information. And we know now, some of us knew then, I voted against the resolution back in October of 2002 because I knew that what they were saying was untrue, that there was no connection between Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden. There was no relationship between Iraq and the attack of September 11th. There were no evidence of weapons of mass destruction, so-called chemical and biological weapons, that the allegations that the administration made that Iraq had been importing enriched uranium from Niger were completely false. They were based upon documents that were stolen from the Rome embassy and forged. We knew that. But it was very difficult for a lot of people across the country to get that information and know it. And apparently, obviously, it was even different for members of the Congress because so many of them voted for it. Enough of them voted for it to pass the resolution to authorize the attack against Iraq when it was completely unjustified.
Yeah, and I think, I think, Congressman, that is still going on today. I think that we see a lot with the Democrats that they're frightened. Not frightened of what they know what they need to do. But I think they're frightened that they go out, they speak out, and they know they are going to get hammered by the conservative media. I drive all across the country. We listen to the stations. You'll hear four or five levels deep of conservative talk radio. And good luck finding a non-conservative talk radio out there. And I think that has had a direct effect on members of the House and Senate as far as what they're willing to do, how far they're willing to go and to speak up, because they know that anything they say, they're going to get hammered, even if it's by a bunch of nonsense on conservative talk radio. Am I right about that? Do you get a sense that there is a concern about that from these Congress members?
Well, I think a lot of people have been intimidated by those kind of talk shows, particularly people like Hannity, those kinds of guys have intimidated a lot of people. But true conservatives, people who are really conservative, what does conservative mean? It means that you want to conserve. You want to protect the basic principles of our government. You want to protect free and open democratic republic. Real conservatives now are beginning to understand that these neoconservatives, these radical right-wingers, are not interested in conserving anything. They're interested in destroying the basic principles of this country. And then again, you have people like Rush Limbaugh, for example, who are increasingly showing themselves to be clowns rather than people who are interested in putting out the right kind of information. He's a guy that is interested in making money, and he's just banging away with the stuff that he does only for that reason, because of the profits that they make by selling their stuff to people who will buy into it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I think the situation is beginning to change, and I think it's changing not just from progressives or liberals, but I think real, true conservative people across this country are realizing also what kind of damage these phonies are doing in the way that they use the broadcast media system.
Yeah, that's the only question. Will the conservatives, the real conservatives, have to come on to balance out the phony conservatives under the fairness doctrine? Let me take one quick call before I let you go, Congressman, if I could. We've got Bill in Phoenix for the Congressman. Bill, welcome to the PBC show.
Thank you, Fred. Congressman Hinchey,
yes,
I'd
sir.
Like to thank you very much as a longtime resident of your district for taking up this matter. And I'd like to assure America that in your hands it will get due diligence.
You're calling from Phoenix?
Yeah, I've lived in Saugerties all my life. I'm in Phoenix now.
Oh.
But I just want America to know that in your capable hands it will get due diligence, this issue, and that I know you to be a man of your word, and that's why I'm sure this matters to you, because words matter.
Well, thank you very much. I very much appreciate that call.
See, they're coming out here to listen to you now, Congressman. That's what they have to do to get your voice on the air the way it should be. You know, I was watching Fox News. They were talking about this bill. I don't think they were talking to you, but it was incredible. Both Hannity and Combs were beating up the idea, saying that this is about government controlling the media. Before I let you go, do you have any thoughts on that point of view, that clearly the fake conservatives are the line they're using to fight this thing?
Yeah, well, that's the neocon approach to it. The government is not going to control the media in the sense that the government is not going to control what people say. But what the government has the responsibility to do is to make sure that the broadcast system is open, free, and fair, and that there are alternative points of view that are available to all of the people across the country. You can't restrict information in any way, whether it's far left or far right or something else. You've got to have a free, open, and fair information distribution system across the country. And that's what's really at stake here, and these people don't want that. All they want is to continue with the programs that they put forward because it's been productive for them, productive economically, financially for them. And although one can understand that, that's not in the best interest of the country. What's in the best interest of the country is to make sure that we have a real free and open debate on issues, and that everybody gets a chance to present their opinions, their point of view, their perspective, and then all of us can make our own judgments based upon the broad base of all of that information rather than just a narrow sector of it.
Indeed, and making the fight to return fairness and balance to the media is the fact that the media is not fair and balanced right now. So this is going to be a tough fight. But, Congressman, I want to thank you for what you're doing and let you know you can count on me and bradblog.com anytime to support what you're up to, because at least in the blogs, you got a fighting chance, Congressman.
Well, Brad, thanks a lot. I appreciate talking to you.
Really appreciate you stopping by. Thank you, sir, and good luck. All right, we're going to be back shortly. We're going to take a quick break here. We're going to come back with John Aravosis of AmericaBlog.com. He's got a lot coming up. Oh, I got to say, real quick, before we go to the break, tomorrow, live, Town Hall Forum, Election Integrity. I should have said that before. 3 hours at the, where are we going to be? The Plumbers and Pipefitters Union Hall, 24th Street, and... where? And
Earl.
And Earl, 24th Street and Earl, just north of Thomas out here in Phoenix, where we are filling in for PBC for the next 2 days. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, back after this.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540. We'll be right back.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Rapp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Actually, that's not what I meant to play, but maybe Neil Young is trying to tell me something there. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I am your friendly citizen, investigative journalist, blogger Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, sitting in for the vacationing PBC today, broadcasting out of 1480 KPHX in Phoenix. Couldn't be happier about it, and couldn't be happier about our next guest who's joining us. The great, the mighty, John Aravosis, a Washington, D.C.-based lawyer, writer, and political consultant, owner and editor of the progressive website, oh, I think I've heard of this, AmericaBlog.com. Have a feeling you might have heard of it, too. If you haven't, I don't know what cave you've been living in. But hey, John, how are you, sir?
Hey, Brad, doing well.
Good to talk to you, finally, and thanks. You're on the East Coast. You're in D.C., right?
Exactly.
All right, so you're staying up late for us, because I know you like to get to bed at 6:30 or 7 out there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know me.
I know you. So things hopping over at America Blog as usual, my friend?
Oh, you know, there's never a lack of news to tick us off.
No, wouldn't it be nice to have a slow news day, John? I mean, wouldn't that be great? It doesn't happen anymore.
It's funny. Well, I mean, in a good way now. Well, it's funny, actually. I shouldn't say in a good way now. I was going to say, like, the news is all positive that the Dems took over. It's better.
Right.
Not quite well yet, but, you know, we're working on it.
Yeah, it's starting at least to move in the right direction. You had a great story today. This is just unbelievable. You know, I was talking to Congressman Hinchey before the break about the Fairness Doctrine and just how out of whack, how out of balance this country has become, the media has become, what these bad guys are able to get away with. The only place to even the score, I would contend, is in the blogosphere even now. And you had a great story trying to even the score today on what the religious right wackos are up to again in response to this. Frankly, this huge protest that took place last weekend that nobody really knows about. But what did, because the media didn't report it. You want to fill us in on what these guys did, the American Family Association. Unbelievable.
Yeah, basically it was the American Family Association and the Family Research Council, which are two of the largest religious right groups. And, you know, their sort of MO for everything they do is trying to find little itty-bitty stories that they can blow out of proportion to make you look bad. You know, and they typically do it with gays and lesbians, but, of course, they've decided to branch out to the Democratic Congress because, you know, because they're nonpartisan.
Well, that's right.
So they always have to look for stories to attack Democrats because that's what nonpartisan people do.
That's right.
Well, they thought they had a twofer this weekend because they could take some bizarre little story and slam the anti-Iraq protesters and at the same time Nancy Pelosi. And basically, small group of protesters, and according to the chief of police for the Capitol Police, it's a small fringe group that they knew about that basically likes to get violent and cause conflicts and everything else. Anyway, small group of these guys go and try to storm the Capitol. The cops are like, I don't think so. And they stop them from doing it, not violent. You know, it was actually done quite well by the police. Well, later they find out that a couple of these guys scratched on the sidewalk with, like, you know, chalk or charcoal or something. A couple, like five of them, wrote a couple little things on the sidewalk, like anarchist symbols or something.
Let me get that straight. On the sidewalk near the Capitol.
On the sidewalk, in the public area of the Capitol, meaning on the mall, basically.
Now, was that spray paint on the sidewalk, John, as far as you know?
It was something black that either looked like somebody used their heel or charcoal. I saw the pictures online.
So it was charcoal potential. Oh, there's photographs online. Charcoal on the sidewalk near the Capitol.
Charcoal on sidewalk. You know, never, I mean, and it didn't look like one of those little jump rope things.
Right.
I mean, it could have been.
Yeah.
You know, one of those where you ever get through the little thing when you were a kid. What are we used to call
that? Hopscotch? It was like a hopscotch.
Yeah. But in this case, it was an anarchist symbol. Oh! Well, of course, the religious right flips out. They do. The thing is, here's the thing. Small, stupid story, whatever. They send action alerts to all of their lists. We're talking American Family Association claims it has 3 million members on its email list, okay?
Right.
Not a small number.
Right.
And tell people to call the Congress and bitch at Nancy Pelosi because the Capitol Police allowed these demonstrators to come up on the steps of the Capitol and deface the Capitol steps. They watched them do the graffiti, but they told their officers, don't you dare arrest them because maybe Nancy Pelosi wouldn't like it.
And this was the headline. I'm reading the subject line here. War protesters allowed to spray paint the U.S. Capitol.
Yeah.
Capitol Chief of Police tell officers not to arrest anyone.
Yeah. Now, total, basically, I mean, at first you'd be like, okay, crazy story anyway. The thing is, they got CNN to pick it up. They got a lot of the media to pick up the story, of course, about how, you know, gosh, A, the war protesters, what bad people. You know, it was like, I saw the picture. It was like 50 people out of, you know, 50 or 100,000, give me, or 200,000, whatever it was, you know.
Right.
But the best part was the Capitol Police are very bad people who just sat there and said, we can't stop the evil protesters from defacing the Capitol. And then, of course, they blamed it on Nancy Pelosi because, you know, maybe she ordered them. Because, you know, you can imagine Nancy there in her red Prada pumps saying,
right,
you know, don't you dare arrest anybody.
Yes,
I don't care if they're killing people.
Yes, you know, Commandant Pelosi is giving orders to the police.
Yes. Well, bottom line is, They sick these people. Some of the conservative blogs picked it up and thought, hey, what a great idea. Let's have people actually call the Capitol Police and lock up their phones with people calling them and bitching about this. Hey, good idea to do to the people who are responsible for, you know, stopping the terrorists from killing our members of Congress. Let's just lock up their phone lines so no Hill office can actually call them when there's a problem.
So the wing nuts are actually calling and complaining to the Capitol Police about this.
Exactly. Well, Capitol Police Chief finally has to put out a statement saying, totally not true. We didn't even see these guys. guys doing this or we would have stopped them. It wasn't on the Capitol steps. They were in the public area of the mall where anybody can go day or night. You know, they didn't get special access. They didn't do it on the Capitol steps. We didn't order our cops not to arrest them. And if we'd seen them doing it, we would have arrested them. Well, what's annoying about this, of course the religious right lies, that isn't news. But, of course, they try to create a stink. They make people's lives miserable. And at the same time, they convince the, you know, the mainstream media to pick up these stories and start to repeat them.
Well,
you know, what does this remind us of? 2000. Oh,
yeah.
Bill Clinton's people took all the W's off of the typewriters and they trashed the White House.
They trashed the White House. You mean that did not happen either?
Yeah, exactly. Well, later we find out an independent study goes, no, none of that really happened. But, you know, it's in the public lore.
Well, that's what's amazing. That they'll get CNN. It's bad enough. You know, we expect the wing nuts to do that. We expect the Bush administration to try to lie. But the fact that they are, that the media, and I'm not talking about Fox News. We expect it from them, too. But I'm talking about CNN. I'm talking about MSNBC. They pick up this stuff. The power that these groups, like the American Family Association, Family Research Council, seem to have over the media, I don't get it. I mean, you know, I know you trying to get, you know, the great work you did on the Jeff Gannon story, for example, trying to get that out originally, and so many others, so many of the innumerable stories that you've broken over at America Blog, trying to get that. Good luck getting that on CNN, John.
Well, actually, I mean, to CNN's credit, we actually have gotten stories on CNN.
So eventually, yeah. But do you put out emails?
What's annoying with a lot of the media, though, Brett, is that they don't. These stories don't pass the smell test, and yet they run with them.
Exactly.
You know, and that's the problem, is we're not talking about, well, because actually one of the problems we've got with the media is they've got this crazy idea like, well, as long as we write a report or a story that criticizes Bush and criticizes the Democrats, then it's even.
Yeah.
We're like, well, yeah, the one criticizing Bush was real, the one attacking the Democrats was fake. That's not really even.
Yeah.
We'd rather have you do your job than play some weird game with scales.
Well, that's exactly right. This balance nonsense, the balance is, you know, tell one side that is lying and the other side that is telling the truth. That's not balance. That's just dishonesty. But they do it. They go for it. And, yeah, you get stories out there onto CNN eventually, but you cannot put out an email as these...
A million people.
Yeah, and have it picked up. I mean, it's just appalling. Hey, listen, I've got a quick question for you before we have to go, and I know you have to go. Desi pointed me here to a story. Actually, this is Joe in D.C.'s story. It's pretty fresh. You may not have seen it yet. I don't know. Tony Snow suggesting that the U.S. Senate is inviting bin Laden to hit us again?
Yeah, yeah. Tony Snow, our wonderful White House spokesman, you all know him. Today, CNN, and actually, again, CNN did a good thing on this one. You know, they reported Tony Snow's comment, referring to the resolutions being discussed in the Senate right now about, you know, Bush's little surge, you know, the little Bush-McCain escalation plan in Iraq.
Yeah.
Tony Snow says, Osama bin Laden thought that a lack of American resolve was a key reason why he could inspire people to come after us on September 11th. Now, first of all, whatever, maybe that's true, who knows. I am not accusing members of the Senate of inviting carnage on the United States of America.
Oh, man, inviting carnage, he said?
But I'm not. I am not accusing. It's like saying, Brad, I'm not accusing you of being a pedophile, okay?
Right.
But...
Right. Unbelievable.
So he's not accusing members of the Senate of inviting carnage on the United States of America. I'm simply saying you think about what impact it may have.
Oh, man.
Now, well, I mean, and Joe always likes to point out the fact, which is, oh, you mean Osama bin Laden, the guy you haven't caught yet?
Yeah.
You mean the guy that Bush said, I don't think about him.
I don't
him
think
very much,
much about
that
him.
That guy?
Yeah.
Just want to make sure.
Man, it's just unbelievable, what they do. And, thank God you're around and the blog's around to at least try to even the score.
And talk radio.
And talk, yeah.
I forget to give credit to that one, Florent.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Talk radio, that's right. hey, listen, a quick question for you before we got to go to a hard break and say goodbye to you. Is Dick Cheney and or George Bush going to survive this term? John, getting you on record here.
I really think it's going to be quite interesting to see where Bush is in a year. Because as much as people say, 2 years and he's out, he's going to really tick people off this year. And forget the left. I'm talking people in the middle and even people on the right.
Yeah.
It will just be very interesting in a year if he's still playing these to hell with the polls. Because the polls are 70% of the American people and what they really think. They're not polls. you know, they're people.
Yeah.
And I'll be very curious to see where he is in a year, because I could very easily see people in a year finally going, you know what, I don't like the idea of impeachment, but I want him gone.
Yeah, and I think he's going to be gone.
You show that, actually. I think it was like 56% or something of people said they just wish his presidency was over now.
They do. I'm on record here here and now. I don't think Cheney's going to make it through the end of the year. I think he's going to resign.
His health and whether just he has to resign just because he's also an idiot. But I think the Bush thing is more important in the sense of whether he just loses so much face because he's so standing up against, you know, just taking the public on, like stuff like this. They're just taking the public on.
It's going to be a crazy year. I got to run. John Aravosis from AmericaBlog.com. Thanks for jumping in, my friend. Appreciate it. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Are you tired of hearing no when applying for a home loan? Is your credit shot due to late payments, bankruptcy, or recent foreclosure? Do you need help purchasing a home or refinancing your existing home? Well, now there is help. Every Saturday and Sunday morning from 7 to 8 here on KRXA 540 AM, listen live to national radio host Ken Michaels of Mortgage Makeovers as he doles out simple answers in plain English to your mortgage and finance questions.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Senate votes to raise the minimum wage.
The yeas are 94. The nays are 3.
General Casey on what he's leaving in Iraq.
I do not believe that the current policy has failed.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Peggy Fraley, court sure could use a raise.
We're just doing the best we can.
She works as a receptionist in Wichita for the federal minimum wage, $5.15 an hour. Fraley lives with her daughter and 5 grandchildren, and they struggle just to pay for heat and power.
Sometimes I just barely get one bill paid in order to not be turned off, you know, and then I try to catch the next bill, the next paycheck, because we only together must make $800-$900 a month.
Dignity of persons. That is what the increase in the minimum wage is about.
Senator Ted Kennedy made this his cause, and this afternoon the Senate voted overwhelmingly to raise the minimum to $7.25 an hour over 2 years. But unlike the House bill, this measure includes tax breaks for small business to help ease the pain.
Small businesses have been the steady engine of our growing economy, and that they've been a source of new job creation.
Wyoming Republican Mike Enzi. The bill would also raise taxes for many people earning more than $1 million a year. President Bush urges the House to go along. Now this.
Wires got you all tied up? Office Depot has the latest technology when you're on the go, like a huge selection of notebook computers, wireless printers, networking solutions, and mobile accessories. Hurry in. Office Depot has unbeatable prices on everything you need to go wireless. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Whoa, Office Depot.
So you're a consultant?
Yes, sir.
What's with the wall of sticky notes?
It's my small business accounting system. Unpaid invoices go on the purple ones.
And the green?
New customers.
So unpaid bills are the yellow ones.
How'd you know?
I took a shot. You know, there's an easier way to manage your business.
Yeah?
Yeah, QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you write checks, send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't.
I'll switch. So, need a couple hundred sticky notes?
I'm going to pass on that. QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at OfficeMax, Best Buy, or Amazon.com.
General George Casey, the outgoing U.S. commander in Iraq, is expected to be confirmed as Army Chief of Staff, but he faced some harsh criticism at his confirmation hearing today. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
General Casey was raked over the coals by several senators, especially Republican John McCain, who said he misled Congress with rosy forecasts and questioned his promotion to the top job in the Army.
I question seriously the judgment that was employed in
your execution of your responsibilities in Iraq.
Casey said Iraq's strategy didn't fail and defended his change of heart between November, when he told Congress more troops weren't needed, and January, when he supported President Bush's decision to send them.
I told you I would ask for the troops I believed I required to accomplish the mission, and I believe I have.
Casey said more troops now can help the Iraqi government get control of Baghdad, but said he can't guarantee success. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The Boston bomb scare story took another bizarre turn today as the two men who placed 38 electronic devices around the city were arraigned in court. They were released on bail after pleading not guilty and, outside the courthouse, refused to answer reporters' questions.
I want to redirect this onto the topic of haircuts in the 70s because I want to educate myself about it a little bit more than I know already.
Peter Berdofsky and Sean Stevens are charged with planting a hoax device and disorderly conduct. The blinking signs were a promotion for a cartoon show, but the bomb squad didn't know that until the city was thrown into chaos. Schools and businesses in the Western Carolinas were closed today, and there was at least one traffic death as a storm system brought snow and ice to a region that doesn't get much winter weather. But this could be the pattern for the rest of the season. A government forecaster says the El Nino pattern has weakened considerably, and that should bring more Arctic air into the country. We know what happened to the New Orleans levees now. A report released by the Army Corps of Engineers says it could happen elsewhere in the United States.
On this federal list, 122 levees that could fail, putting perhaps millions of people in danger. At FEMA, Butch Kinerney.
People living behind levees need to understand that they are at risk. Levees will eventually fail.
The Katrina disaster, a reminder that local communities have to pay for upkeep. Jeff Mount is a watershed professor in California, which has more endangered levees than any other state.
We have long neglected making these investments in improving these levees, as well as operating and maintaining them.
Dan Ravine, CBS News, Washington.
ExxonMobil broke its own record with a profit of $39.5 billion last year, and Anheuser-Busch says rising domestic beer sales boasted its bottom line by 31%. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Watch the football game of the year in high def? Office Depot can help with unbeatable prices on LCD and plasma HD TVs. Plus, Office Depot can deliver and install your TV. See store for details. Hurry into Office Depot or go online because these deals won't last long. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Whoa, Office Depot!
Hello, would you like to be more successful with the opposite sex? I'm Ted Baker, and my program can teach you how to attract a mate. Listen to this.
Ted told me about logging on to freecreditreport.com. I learned that my good credit could help me buy a car and a boat, and now chicks dig me.
My patented system could work for you, too. Log on to freecreditreport.com to get your free credit score and report. A nice condo could make you irresistible.
Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Trip.
San Francisco, she must have lost her way. Posting a poster of Poncho and Cisco, one California day. She says she believes in Robin Hood and Brotherhood and colors of green and gray. And all you can do is laugh at her.
Keep it cranking there, Ian. I like that song. You know the song, Ian? You're from Arizona. You never heard it? Oh, man. I think you have. You just don't admit it.
All right. Welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show live from Phoenix, Arizona today. That would be live and local if you're in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Brad Friedman from bradfriedman.com. Oh, no, wait. Where am I from? Bradblog.com. Sitting in today for the vacationing Peter B. Collins. He'll also be gone tomorrow. And tomorrow, if you folks know me, I'm a frequent guest on Peter's show, talking about election integrity issues. Well, tomorrow we're going to be doing a live on-air town hall forum sponsored in no small part by the good folks here at 1480 KPHX Nova M radio affiliate in Phoenix, an election integrity town hall.
And we'd love you to come. We're going to be having the folks from Audit AZ, the Arizona Advocacy Network, VelvetRevolution.us are all sponsoring. We're going to be covering all election integrity issues. We've got folks from the state Senate coming in, and these great folks, these advocates on the ground here in Arizona, one of the best states in the union as far as good guys on the ground fighting for election integrity. You can join us for that 3-hour special broadcast tomorrow beginning at 4 p.m. Arizona time. It will, of course, be played live on this fine radio station wherever you may be listening to PBC. But if you're out here in Phoenix, come on down to the Plumbers and Pipefitters Union Hall at 24th Street and Earl, one block north of Thomas. We'd love to see you there. I'll be there. I can't wait to see you. We're going to have, coming up here shortly, we're going to have David Swanson, who was in the House yesterday in those John Conyers hearings. And at the bottom of the hour, we'll have our good friend John Gideon of Voters Unite to give us a quick update on what the hell is going on. Oh, man, some big news out of Florida, if you haven't heard. And if you pay attention to any other media other than bradblog.com, you may not have heard about the big news that's going on down there. Coming from Florida's new Republican governor, believe it or not. Well, I'll tell you, we've been beating up on Republicans. We've been beating up on the Bush administration, and we've been talking about the Fairness Doctrine. And guess what? We don't need no stinking Fairness Doctrine. We're fair. We're balanced. And I have a feeling our next guest may, just may, end up beating up on some Democrats. And, of course, and he may even be beating up on my buddy John Conyers. Uh-oh. We'll find out. Let's see. David Swanson, he's the Washington director of Democrats.com and of ImpeachPack.org, co-founder of the AfterDowningStreet.org coalition, creator of MeetWithCindy.org. Oh, man, this guy is busy. And a board member of the Progressive Democrats of America. He's worked as a newspaper reporter, a communications director. Jobs included press secretary for Dennis Kucinich in his 2004 presidential campaign. How'd that work out, Dave? Did he win?
We're still trying.
Okay.
We're still trying to get to.
He was also the subject of a special comment, the other night on Countdown, MSNBC's Countdown with Keith Olbermann. So congratulations for that, my friend. That was great. David Swanson, thanks for joining us on the PBC show.
Thanks for having me, Brad. You know I would never beat up on anybody.
Oh, really? Oh, really? You know what? I heard you were spray painting the Capitol walls with anarchist signs the other day during the protest. Was that you?
Yeah, it's very interesting that they want to investigate spray painters rather than investigating how we got into this disaster in the first place. But that's the priorities inside the Beltway. It was not me, but...
We were just speaking with John Aravosis of America Blog in the last hour. He said that, in fact, it was not spray paint. It was not on the Capitol building. It was chalk or charcoal, and it was on the sidewalk. So... Even if you did do it, David, you can cop to it because we won't sick the Capitol Police on you.
Yeah, sounds like it'll wash off when it rains. I'm not sure what the problem is. That was on Saturday, but on Monday there was a group that was laying white roses in a little pond in the courtyard in the Rayburn House office building, and the Capitol Police sort of closed off the courtyard and started arresting everybody. But what disturbed me there was that they threatened network TV camera people with arrest if they filmed the thing. This is how our troops treat the media in Iraq. This is not supposed to be. It's not supposed to be what they do there, but it's certainly not supposed to be what they do in Washington, D.C.
They were threatening them from shooting protesters throwing white roses into the fountain?
Laying white roses on water and reading the names of the dead and so forth, yeah.
Unbelievable. By the way, if you want to give us a call and speak with myself or David Swanson, we're at 1-888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Okay, David, you were in the hearings live blogging yesterday, the first House Judiciary Committee hearings under the new Chairman John Conyers. He was looking at these Bush signing statements. First, give us an idea, for those who haven't been paying attention or have been watching Fox News where this doesn't exist, what's the problem with these signing statements, David?
Well, they are not totally new, but they have been used by this president much more frequently than by any previous president, including recent presidents like Clinton and this guy's father, who used them more than in the past. And they've been used in a different way. They've been used to dramatically alter the laws that this president has signed. And so, you know, there will be a big public debate over whether the Congress should ban torture, for example, and Congress finally will ban torture, and the president will sign the bill, and it'll be a big public event. And then the next day, he'll quietly issue a little statement that reads, in effect, I'm still free to torture if I want to. And so he's done this on torture, on spying in violation of FISA, on, you know, he recently just pulled one out off the wall completely, signed a bill and added a statement that gave the president the right to read anyone's mail, you know, which interestingly was one of the earlier rights that Adolf Hitler granted himself. But you have this now having become standard practice, that Congress will pass a bill, the president will sign it, and the president will completely change what it says. And, you know, this president has, I think, vetoed one bill. You know, the way it works in the Constitution, Congress can pass a bill, and the president can either sign it and obey it and enforce it, or veto it.
Is the practice illegal? Is there a question of whether the law was broken here? Actually, hang on to that question. Let me take a quick break. We'll get it when we come back. We're talking to David Swanson from after DowningStreet.org. He was at the hearings yesterday in the House Judiciary Committee. We're going to find out if those signing statements are illegal and what else we found out at those hearings. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Brad Friedman. More with David Swanson right after this.
You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
And no reports of any stalls or accidents at this time. Traffic this time around brought to you by PG Liquors. Stop on by CJR Medina's son-in-law, Chad. PG Liquors, Grand Avenue, Pacific Grove, just a block up from Lighthouse. KRXA 540 AM. Checking traffic twice an hour. Drive carefully.
Taking it easy here on the Peter B. Collins Show. I am your friendly citizen journalist blogger, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, sitting in for the mighty PBC today and tomorrow, live from Phoenix, but going out all over the place. Give us a call if you wish to talk to David Swanson about those hearings in Congress in the House Judiciary Committee yesterday. We're at 1-888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. So, David, what I left you with, these signing statements that George Bush has done, and I believe he's done some, 140, I think, Conyers, as you reported it yesterday over at after DowningStreet.org, 141 signing statements reversing over 800 provisions that were put in place by Congress. Now, is that illegal?
Well, the defenders of that practice, including the Deputy Assistant Attorney General John Elwood, who testified in the congressional hearing yesterday, claim that the signing statements are legal because they are meaningless, that they are the exact same thing as a press release, that they have no legal impact, and that in fact the president has obeyed every law he's signed as originally written, and the signing statements have not affected his behavior. So there seems to be universal agreement that if the signing statements mean anything, they're unconstitutional. And of course, the president has demonstrably altered his behavior in light of his signing statements, right? I mean, he recently announced that they would stop the illegal spying program, you know, long after he had signed a bill cutting off money for the illegal spying programs and signing it with a signing statement saying, I'll go ahead and continue these. You know, clearly there is ongoing torture. Clearly there is ongoing construction of permanent bases in Iraq. You know, Congress passed a bill saying by 2008 you got to end these so-called emergency supplemental war bills and put the war in the regular budget on the books. Well, the president has already announced his plans for a supplemental emergency war bill for 2008. So, you know, on and on, hundreds of cases, it's clear that the signing statements have an effect on the president's behavior. Well, even his defenders, you know, everyone agrees that that is unconstitutional.
Now, you've got Elwood, and that is he's from Justice Department, Elwood?
Yes, Deputy Assistant to our Attorney General, Gonzalez.
All right, as you reported it yesterday over at afterdowningstreet.org, you've got Arthur Davis, Congressman, asking, is it Elwood's position if the president thinks a law unconstitutional, he should not follow it?
Elwood says yes. Davis says Alabama had a governor once who thought letting black people vote was unconstitutional. How is that different from the president's position? Elwood won't answer. So Davis asks again. Elwood says governors are subject to federal law. Davis asks whether the president is not subject to the law as well. Elwood says only if the Supreme Court has ruled. This is amazing. Davis goes on to say, why would the president's interpretive power exceed the Congress's? And Elwood hems and haws, as you reported it yesterday. Does this mean, then, that what he's saying is that if he decides it's unconstitutional, unless ordered by the Supreme Court, he can just ignore anything? Was that Elwood's position in these hearings yesterday?
Yeah, there was some excellent questioning, I thought, by Arthur Davis and later by Keith Ellison and others. You know, it's a bizarre position. You know, most you can understand it. Yes, apparently, our Justice Department believes that any law by passed by Congress can be completely altered by the president if he merely claims that that the whole law or parts of it are unconstitutional, in his opinion, up until the point that the Supreme Court, such as it is now, says otherwise. And this is a bizarre situation.
And so this was actually administration representatives from the DOJ stating that this is the position of the White House on these matters. Is that correct?
Yes, or stating at least that it is the position of the representative of the Bush administration there, the Deputy Assistant Attorney General, who incidentally was not under oath and should have been, because he and another gentleman pretty blatantly lied in various instances and expressed opinions as wild and counter to our basic American system of government as the one you just mentioned.
And and this is what I really like to know about. So they were not under oath. Why were they not under oath?
Because our Congress is not in any hurry and loves to be collegial and amicable. And, you know, this is a position that's widely accepted on Capitol Hill, but is strange to an activist who's concerned that people are dying every day and that over the next 2 years, hundreds of thousands of people will die if our nation's positions are not altered. And you know, so you'll recall that Congressman Conyers used to hold unofficial hearings in the minority.
Sure, down in the basement, the basement hearings.
Well,
that's right.
There are, you know, in many ways, those hearings were like this one yesterday. Not a single document subpoenaed, not a single person subpoenaed, not a single person placed under oath. And the hearing interrupted many times by votes scheduled by Nancy Pelosi rather than the Republicans. And what media was there? Gone by the middle because of all the interruptions for votes. And Arthur Davis having to come back five times before he could get to ask his question. So the only differences were it was a nice room upstairs.
Right.
And you had a mix of witnesses. You didn't just have, you know.
You had half wingnut witnesses, didn't you, David?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, you have a professor from Georgetown who pretty much thinks we should have a dictator, and you have an assistant deputy attorney general who kind of go along with it.
Well, now, so is this par for the course, though? Is this the general courtesy? They don't put folks under oath. I know that the minority always gets to bring in X number of witnesses as well, but is it normal that they just don't generally put them under oath or subpoena except in extreme circumstances?
Well, you could read it that these gentlemen showed up because if they'd refused a polite request, they could have been subpoenaed. On the other hand, the vice president has announced that he will refuse a subpoena. The administration under the Republican Congress refused countless Freedom of Information Act requests and other demands from Congress. It seems fairly predictable that they will refuse subpoenas. And so it may be that the Democrats aren't subpoenaing anything or anyone because they don't want those subpoenas refused and a case going to a Supreme Court on the question that is hostile to the division of powers set up in our Constitution. But this is not why we gave the Democrats a majority. we didn't give the Democrats a majority so they could ask, sir, the president's given himself the power to do such and such. Has he done it? And have the witness say no and have no evidence. We gave them a majority so that they could use certain powers, including the power of subpoena, to get the records, get the emails, get the documents, get the minutes, and find out what the White House and the Justice Department have been doing. Don't just ask.
Well, Ross Story has this morning that Conyers is going to start an official probe into these signing statements. And I know that from talking with Conyers and his staff, they like to do things in a certain order. And I suspect the hearings, well, at least I hope, the hearings are the first step. An official probe may be the next step. And then they've also announced that he will demand, Conyers has demanded, that full committee access to the warrantless surveillance document. So I suspect this thing is just getting started. David, I got to get out. David Swanson, thanks so much. Keep live blogging these hearings because you're the only guy I trust on them.
You're the best, Fred.
Thank you, brother. David Swanson from AfterDowningStreet.org, Democrats.com, and everywhere else. We're going to be back with much, much more, including our old friend John Gideon from Voters Unite right after this.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Closes city. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The first call came from a Boston subway worker who noticed this panel of LEDs about a foot square with circuit boards, batteries, and wires, and phoned the police. And then, one of the cops noticed that when he brought the panel into a dark area, a cartoon character lit up and flipped him off. They realized the reason for the circuit boards and the wires was, well, that's how you get LEDs to light up and flip you off. The strange thing was, these panels also showed up in Atlanta, Chicago, New York, and in Seattle, where not one person called 911. Although, in Seattle, I figure it's probably the pot. Dude, did those LEDs just give me the finger? I don't know, man, but you look just like a porpoise. Anyway, I guess you could argue that Boston is now officially the most vigilant city in America. Except, well, the gizmos have been there for 3 weeks and they've even been posted on a blog with a picture. So Boston authorities now realize they closed the city and even alerted the U.S. Northern Command over a TV show that stars a talking milkshake. Which means heads are going to roll. And so far, that means two freelancers who were hired to place these things around town. Because, as the Boston Globe said, anyone older than 8 should be able to understand the dangers of staging such a stunt in the post-September 11th world. And true, there's not a lot of humor in the post-September 11th world, but at least it's easy to find irony. One of those under arrest is Peter Berdovsky, an artist with a goatee and wild hair, who it turns out came here from Belarus. He came here in 1996, seeking asylum, for opposing the dictatorship in his native country. Now this.
1,500 years ago, a vast library, the ancient world's greatest cache of knowledge, was lost. And now, the hunt has begun to find secrets shocking enough to kill for and too explosive to reveal. The Alexandria Link, the new thriller by best-selling author Steve Barry. Dan Brown says, Steve Barry writes my kind of thriller. Discover why, as one man battles a conspiracy that will alter the course of history. The Alexandria Link by Steve Barry in Valentine hardcover. And don't miss The Templar Legacy, now in paperback.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special.
Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
We're living on a prayer. Halfway there, learning how this iTunes thing works. It confounds me, this technology, these internets, these tubes. I don't know how they work. I'm just your friendly citizen blogger, Brad Friedman, sitting in for Peter B. Collins on the Peter B. Collins Show. Live today out of Phoenix, Arizona. We're going to be having our town hall tomorrow. Stop on by. If you need more details, go to bradblog.com. Find out where it is if you're in Phoenix. We'd love to see you. Election Integrity, 3 hours with the folks from Audit AZ. Where else? VelvetRevolution.us, the Arizona Advocacy Network, and, of course, the good folks from 1480 KPHX in Phoenix, your Nova M radio station. Giving our shout outs to the folks in Monterey, California, San Rafael, Phoenix, where it got covered, Eureka, Aptos, Coos Bay, and of course, coast to coast and around the globe on the internets. Glad you're here with us. We're going to have John Gideon in a second, a little bit later on. Next hour, we'll have Margie Burns, who will be checking in with us. Our special Brad Blog correspondent from the Libby CIA leak trial, Treason Gate, as you may know it, or you may not. Also, John Bonifaz will be with us from Demos, talking about the California 13 situation. And later, of course, this hour, I'm going to show you what the hell CNN, how they are playing with your heads. Yeah. All right. Speaking of playing with your heads, Mary Cheney, the lesbian daughter of Vice President Dick Cheney yesterday, publicly defended her decision to become pregnant. Yes, apparently she has to publicly defend her decision to become pregnant. Quote, "I knew it wasn't going to be the most popular decision," she said. In perhaps the understatement of the year, Cheney then gestured to her middle. "This is a blessing from God. It is not a political statement. It is not a prop to be used in a debate on either side of a political issue. It is my child." Yeah. Funny, your father didn't mind using everyone else's babies and families as his own political prop. And as you may recall, he was on CNN with Wolf Blitzer the other day, resenting the questions about this. Sure, he can play with other people's families. We can't ask him questions about his. Mary Cheney's not happy. Yeah, just one of those things. Let's get to our buddy John Gideon. Hey, John, are you there?
Hey, Brad, I am here.
John Gideon from VotersUnite.org. And, of course, Brad Blog readers may well know him, a frequent contributor to the Brad Blog, as well as the author of the indispensable Daily Voting News, which you can also read every day at Brad Blog and elsewhere. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Are you keeping an eye on the blog? Because I've been busy today.
I am keeping an eye on the blog. An excellent article, one up this afternoon, actually.
Yep.
Another hard-hitting investigative report from Michael Richardson, all about cyber and their dealings with the Election Assistance Commission and the National Association of State Elections Directors.
And for people who aren't familiar with that, of course, well, first off, where can they find that hard-hitting article, John?
Oh, on on bradblog.com.
Oh, they're very good. Well, and I'm glad you mentioned it because I haven't seen the article yet, so I'm going to have to take your word for it. But I knew he was working on it. Just to catch people up, Cyber, this is this voting lab company, this test lab that has now been essentially decertified or not given accreditation to continue testing, at least for the time, by the U.S. Elections Assistance Commission. And the fact is, this happened back in July of last year, months before the November election, when I think it's something 65-70%, John, of the country used machines that were supposedly tested by this group, Cyber.
Right, between 65 and 70% of all voters voted on equipment that was originally tested and certified by Cyber Labs.
And the EAC, which is completely partisan, completely in the tank, this is not you saying it, this is me, you can agree or not, but appointees, political appointees, cronies, the Elections Assistance Commission is a joke. No one is watching over our election system, and this certainly... I think underscores that more than anything. What does Michael Richardson's story expose this afternoon?
It's pretty much more of the same of the give and take and everything, and the secrets and the way things have been covered up.
And they were really they were working in cahoots, it seems like, the EAC and Cyber, and they're all covering for each other and keeping these documents secret.
Right.
But now it's all spilling out, and I'm glad to say at least we're covering it over at bradblog.com, and Michael Richardson's been doing a great job.
Their CEO has essentially said that the report, the negative report against them, is old news, and it's nothing to be concerned about. In the meantime... I think he and the founder of the company have sold over $1 million worth of their stock in order to take advantage of the fact that they figured that things were going to be going down, so they sold stock when they were up.
Are you suggesting insider trading here, Jim?
I wouldn't suggest that at all. Read the article.
Okay. Real quick, I want to touch on this. And by the way, we're going to have John back with us tomorrow for Election Integrity Forum out here in Arizona. And it'll be here on the Peter B. Collins Show. But real quickly, this is huge news out of Florida, as far as I'm concerned. I haven't spoken about it yet today. The Republican governor down in Florida, the new Republican governor, has announced he's working with Robert Wexler out of the House, he's going to put $35 million in the budget to replace every touchscreen voting system in the state of Florida with an optical scan system.
What's down is up, and what's up is down.
This is amazing news. I mean, this is after, getting rid of these punch cards, fighting for the last 6 years as Jeb Bush was fighting as the governor to keep any accountability from going. Do you see this as tremendous news, as I do?
Yes. In fact, it's being seen as tremendous news all over. I've got a few calls from actually the CMSM, and they are on top of it also. But
what's CMSM?
The corporate mainstream media.
Ah,
our friends on the other side. Anyway, this is really, really huge. As you said, this Republican governor, 3 weeks in office, and he has teamed with Robert Wexler, who has had lawsuits all the way up to the Supreme Court to try to stop the use of DREs in the state. And this guy came out earlier this week and says, hey, we need to get rid of all DREs out of the state. I want them gone, optical scan machines in all the counties, and I'm willing to put the money up to make sure that happens. And he has a very staunch DRE supporter, paperless voting supporter, and Kurt Browning, who is now the Secretary of State.
And when you say DRE, just people don't know, that's all right. Essentially, touchscreen voting machines. Down there, they use paperless touchscreen voting machines just to make things worse. There's no record of how folks voted. So he's now got, the new governor, Chris, has now got his new Secretary of State, Kirk Browning.
Yep, and Kirk Browning is all for this. He's backing him. The lieutenant governor is backing him.
Even though Browning was a big supporter of the touchscreen system.
That's exactly right. And the Speaker of the House of Representatives down there has also come out in favor of this. So it's, you know, I just keep waiting to find out what the real punchline is to this, because it's amazing what is happening. ACLU put out a press release today saying that they're not quite going far enough, because the plan is to get rid of all the DREs except for machines for early voting and disabilities voting, in which case they would keep DREs but include a voter verified paper audit trail printer on them. The ACLU is saying, wait a minute, you guys aren't going far enough. Let's get rid of all the DREs and put in a ballot marking device, something like AutoMark or one of the other machines that are accessible, and all they do is mark a ballot. They don't tabulate anything.
And these machines, even if they use the op scan, the paper ballots, they've got to be audited. We've seen down in Florida, in fact, how an election can be flipped on a paper ballot optical scan system. Let me go real quick. I think I have time before we have to get to a break here. Roman in Mesa, is that right?
Yes, in Mesa, Arizona.
Hey, Roman, how are you?
I'm fine, and I really appreciate you guys talking about election integrity, because my family comes from Europe, and the way they used to take control of the government there was to rig the elections, and we're doing the same thing here.
Well, indeed, and I hope you'll come out tomorrow. I think you're in the area. Come on out to the town hall tomorrow, Roman.
I will definitely try to do that. I am looking forward to it, and we have a show here in Arizona. It's called Arizona at Work, and one of the things I hope to do is to call my former Congressman John Conyers to speak on the show. Folks, we got to get some guts in the Democratic Party. We got to start issuing those subpoenas. We have to investigate the election integrity and everything else. And if the administration people do not answer the subpoenas, damn it, let's indict them all and let's get rid of them. You know, the simple fact is, we can impeach those people just as easy as we can impeach Bush and Cheney.
Roman, thanks for your call. Really appreciate it. I got to get out for a break, and I agree with you. I think it's very interesting that down in Florida, what seems to be making the difference here after years of the Democrat Wexler and everyone else trying to push to make a difference, it takes the Republican to come in and say, oh, yeah, well, let's change it, and everything will be all right. John Gideon, I got to get out. I hope you understand. We're going to be with you tomorrow, though, at the Election Integrity Forum live on the Peter B. Show. John Gideon from VotersUnite.org. Thanks for checking in as ever, John.
All right.
Keep an eye on the blog for me, will you? All right, brother.
Bye.
Talk to you later. All right, we're going to be back with, much more CNN playing with your head. Oh, boy. The Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Brad Friedman.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Good afternoon, I'm Frank Sullivan with a look at traffic on KRXA 540. We still have that slowing as we always have on the Fishhook Connector. It's absolutely jammed. Stop and go from southbound 17 all the way through downtown Capitola. That's where it starts to loosen up on Highway 1. We had an earlier crash southbound 101 just past Bailey Avenue. Of course, that's that relatively new exit before you get to Coyote Creek. That has now been cleared, but a little bit of slowing from Highway 85 on down. And no other problems to report in Monterey, Santa Cruz, or Salinas. And that good word brought to you by Welch's 100% grape juice. The American Heart Association recommends a diet rich in antioxidants. So where can you find them? Welch's 100% grape juice. It's full of natural protective antioxidants. I'm Frank Sullivan with traffic on KRXA 540.
Had to sing for them our last song, and reluctantly we said so long. We did our best to let them know that we care for every last one of them that's over there. Whether we belong over there or not, somebody over here loves us and needs us. Well, now that's about all that there is to tell about that little trip into living hell. And if I ever go back over there anymore, hope there's none of our boys there for me to sing for. I hope that war's over with. And they all come back home to stay in peace.
In peace. Thank you, Brother Johnny. Indeed, you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Brad Friedman, sitting in for PBC today. Of course, I've been promising how CNN is playing with your head, but I overbooked. So I'm going to do that next hour. I promise. I want to get in real quickly here. Peter Granato is a Brooklyn native, currently living in Florida, a reservist who served on active duty with a military police unit in Iraq and Kuwait until 2004. Currently can be seen, on the online ad about body armor for the troops that you might have seen. I think it ran during the election, was it? 2004. He's a member of VoteVets.org, dedicated to helping veterans of Iraq and Afghanistan continue their public service in the political arena. And for all the folks who are out there using the troops as props, and I might suggest George Bush is one of them. That's just my opinion. I think what's really missing is hearing from those troops. Whenever I get on the air, I try to hear from those troops. Of course, I talk to them off air all the time. But Peter Granato, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Oh, my pleasure, Brad.
Peter, I don't know if I know that after the State of the Union, one of the things that caught my eye, it was pointed out by another group, IAVA.org, that George W. Bush didn't feel fit to mention anything about veterans issues in the State of the Union address. Did that jump out at you as well?
Well, of course it did, but it's not really a surprise. I mean, this administration hasn't really been a good friend to veterans. I mean, they use a lot of rhetoric, and they use us as props all the time for their speeches, especially our esteemed vice president. But when it comes to actually putting their money where their mouth is, they really haven't done very much.
Now, no, they haven't, and this is what is just incredible to me, and I was down a couple of years ago out in Crawford, Texas, while Cindy Sheehan had set up there, and, you know, we had all these guys driving by, and they were supposedly troops, I guess, veterans, and they were, you know, throwing us the finger, some of them, and saying, support the troops. Of course, a lot of them weren't troops at all, and the irony was that under that tent, there was all kinds of troops, all kinds of veterans out there. How do... What do you and your friends who you served with, what do they think? What do you think when you see this support the troop stuff and how they use this idea essentially to protect their own policies and their own ass, if pardon my English?
Well, I mean, basically, their idea of supporting the troops is putting one of those $3 made in China magnets on the bumper of their Hummers. But I mean, it takes a lot more than that. And, you know, I mean, a lot of people just need to be educated about the truth about what really happens regarding veterans' benefits with the current administration and with the past Republican Congress. I mean, issues just were, they disappeared in committee, and they didn't put them up for votes, and they killed a lot of bills that could have meant a lot to a lot of veterans, especially coming out of service now.
So there was bills, there were things that could have been useful, but they were killed by the Congress?
Well, I mean, they don't want to take votes on these issues, because then it might actually come out to the fact that they don't support the troops. But they like to use that rhetoric a lot, so that's where groups like ours come in. You know, we're here to educate people. We're the voice of America's 21st century patriots. We're doing education and advocacy on behalf of troops, veterans, and their families. I mean, we're a pro-military organization. We're made up of Democrats, independents, and even some Republicans. And we totally supported the war on terror and the, you know, the invasion of Afghanistan
Is the invasion of Iraq part of that war on terror, Peter Granato?
We don't believe it is. The administration and certain media outlets like to blur the two, and that's been one of our biggest, you know, issues going into this, is that, you know, a lot of people seriously believed that was. And I mean, we had a poll back. I mean, I seen polls back in 2004 that a lot of people honestly believed that, you know, Osama bin Laden was hanging out in Iraq with Saddam Hussein. When, you know, anybody who served there would be able to tell you otherwise. Anybody who had any kind of Middle East history would see that the two were incompatible and would actually be enemies. But unfortunately, go ahead, sir.
No, please, go ahead.
And anybody who had any kind of knowledge about the Middle East region would have been able to tell you that. And, you know, that's what was blurred to a lot of us and when we were first going in, that we were going in to get revenge for September 11th and to, you know, fight the war on terror. But, I mean, as we've seen over the course of time, that none of those instances have held up, and there's been no proof of a connection or a link.
And interestingly enough, last poll I saw, it was about 30% of America who still believed Saddam Hussein had something to do with the with 9/11. And curiously, that's just about the approval number for George W. Bush, now that you mention it. So on this supposed troop surge, this escalation, this augmentation, whatever you want to call it, where are you on this? Where is Vote Vets on this and your other colleagues, former vets and so forth?
Well, Vote Vets has joined with a coalition that includes SEIU and MoveOn.org and just opposes the escalation. I mean, the Bush-McCain escalation is just doubling down on a bad bet. It's been tried already. It's been tried throughout in 2004, 2005, when they had troop rotations. We've had this amount of troops in Iraq in the past. It has not proved to be successful. And they're just trying the same thing over and over again and expecting some kind of different results. And Albert Einstein considered that insanity.
Indeed. And did you see the report today? I think it was the Congressional Budget Office came out and said that, in fact, Bush talking about increasing 21,500 troops, it's actually going to take about twice that number of troops in order to support the first 21,000. So we're actually not talking about a 21,000 troop surge. We're talking more like 40,000.
Well, I've seen reports like that. I've also seen General Casey today say it's going to take something like half that. So, I mean, they're all over the map. And Senator McCain wants to put, I think, 75,000, 80,000 in. I don't know where he's going to get them from. But and they've pretty much broken our military and destroyed our equipment. So I don't know where Senator McCain's going to get that stuff, get the troops to actually go and do this mission. And, you know, I mean, our troops sacrifice so much as it is. And we have the same guys going over there. One half or 1% of Americans have something to do with this war. And it's such a small minority, and they're being continuously used, overextended, stop loss so that they can't get out. And it's unfair that not everybody's making the sacrifice. And it's on the backs of the few.
Peter, how long did you serve out there in Iraq?
I served a pretty long tour. I was in Iraq itself for about one full year, and I was preparing to mobilize. I was actually a reservist, so I was preparing to mobilize for a couple of months before and then after that. So it's almost a total of about 15 months total on active duty.
Are you done, or are you going to be called back?
No, I'm actually discharged. I was discharged shortly after I got back, a little after my contract had expired.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm troubled by what's going on. I wish we heard more from vets and not from these guys that they put up on Hannity and Combs who say, oh, they're spitting at me. They don't support. I don't know.
I think that's a very interesting myth that they got going over there, and hopefully people don't see that because I'm in airports quite a bit doing some traveling. I see troops get off the plane. I see them get applauded. I honestly don't believe that those are all Republicans applauding for the troops as they get off the plane.
Yeah, have you ever had has anybody ever bothered you about being a troop and fighting this war?
No, never. Never. I've never had that experience. Not everybody shows their appreciation, but, not everybody, I've never had any major issues like that, like any of these stories that we hear on, that Sean Hannity picks up. And Sean Hannity's a member of the 101st Fighting Keyboardists.
Indeed he is. Peter Granata, thank you very much for your service. Sorry we can't talk to you longer. Thanks for your service to the country in Iraq and Kuwait, and as much for continuing that service back here to talk about what's really going on in this bloody mess.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
Thank you. Peter Granato from VoteVets.org. Appreciate all you're doing. We're going to be back, of course, with the final hour of the Peter B. Show today. And, get out? All right, I'm getting out. Back with Margie Burns from the Libby Trial and much more after this. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Brad Friedman.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Just arrived. It's Carmel, a treasure, a first, a combination calendar history book with souvenir maps archiving Carmel today. Entirely rendered in watercolors by Lisa Bryan. Stories, illustrations of local businesses, dogs, and a brief history of Carmel's first Bohemians, including today's places and characters of note. This brilliant calendar and book combo captures the charm of Carmel, a special gift, now available at Lisa's studio in Court of the Fountains and other bookstores and gift shops in Carmel.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Minimum wage workers are one step closer to a raise. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports the Senate approved a hike by a vote of 94-3.
The bill would slowly raise the minimum from $5.15 an hour, where it's been for 10 years, to $7.25. But it also contains about $8 billion in tax breaks for small businesses that sometimes pay the minimum wage. The House bill doesn't have those, and House Democratic leaders say this increase is long overdue, and they shouldn't have to buy off business support to get it. That difference now has to be worked out between the House and Senate before the bill can be sent to President Bush.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House. President Bush was quick to hail the minimum wage vote, calling it significant legislation that will benefit America's workers and small businesses. In a written statement, he made clear tax relief for small business must be part of the package. He made that a condition of his support for the minimum wage hike.
The president's nominee for Army Chief of Staff faced the Senate Armed Services Committee today, defending the job he's done as the top U.S. commander in Iraq. General George Casey disputed President Bush's characterization of the old strategy.
I actually don't see it as slow failure. I actually see it as slow progress.
Casey said the country as a whole is doing better.
The situation is definitely deteriorating in Baghdad and in the center of the country. It is not necessarily deteriorating across Iraq.
Casey said he supports the new strategy but thinks only 7,000 additional troops are needed to carry it out. A major international study in climate change coming out tomorrow reportedly says global warming is very likely man-made and is likely to continue for centuries no matter how much we do to control pollution.
In the wake of yesterday's episode in Boston, federal prosecutors are considering legal action against Paramount Pictures and the Los Angeles Times for a movie promotion last year. Electronic devices that played the Mission Impossible theme were placed in thousands of news racks. Some people thought they were bombs. WBZ Radio's Carl Stevens has the follow-up in Boston.
Less than 24 hours after the devices they planted paralyzed parts of this city, Sean Stevens and Peter Berdofsky refused to take the case seriously. After being bailed out, they just wanted to talk about their hair. This is Berdofsky.
I think my dreadlocks are pretty nice, and they're going to keep growing for a little while. Maybe they'll reach my knees or something. I don't know.
On and on they went, ignoring reporters' questions, turning a news conference into performance art. Carl Stevens for CBS News, Boston.
Fugitive Roman Catholic priest George Chanin has been arrested in Arizona. Chanin had been missing since last week when he allegedly assaulted an employee at his Las Vegas church. The woman says the 52-year-old priest broke a wine bottle over her head, sexually assaulted her, and choked her, then abruptly fled. Another record day on Wall Street. The Dow up nearly 52 points to close at 12,673. The Nasdaq gained 4 points. The price of oil slipped to $57.30 a barrel. This is CBS News.
And now for the bonus round. March goes in like a lion and out like a lamb. How does April feel?
Insecure.
Correct. If you're peanut butter and I'm jelly, what's the audience?
A glass of chocolate milk.
Correct. About how many movies has Netflix delivered so far?
1 billion.
Correct! Netflix! Nearly 1 billion movies delivered so far. Zero late fees. Choose movies online and get DVDs delivered to your door in about one business day. Start your free trial. Plans now from only $4.99 a month. Netflix, it's that easy.
My name is Leslie, and I've been smoke-free for 6.5 months.
Quitting smoking is hard, but millions of people have succeeded.
My name is Brad, and I've been smoke-free for 15 months now.
If you decide to quit smoking, visit Quit Assist, a free resource that links you to a wealth of expert quitting information, including websites, guides, quit lines, and more. It could help you find your own way to success.
My name is Etta, and I have been smoke-free for 4 years.
Quit Assist, a free information resource. Log on at philipmorrisusa.com.
U.S. automakers are off to a slow start this year. WWJ Radio's Jeff Gilbert has the story from Detroit.
As Ford and GM try to move away from less profitable sales to rental fleets, they had warned us we'd see big drops in their sales figures, but both companies also saw their retail sales in dealerships down. And Ford president of the Americas, Mark Fields, is concerned about how weakness in the economy may affect pickup truck sales.
The size of that segment correlates very highly with the strength of the housing market. So the wild card this year is how will the housing market rebound.
Most auto companies saw January sales down, but Toyota again had a record sales month. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
Italian composer Giancarlo Menotti died today in Monaco. He was 95. Menotti won Pulitzer Prizes for two of his operas, but he's perhaps best known for the first opera written for television, the Christmas classic Amahl and the Night Visitors, aired in 1951. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Wires got you all tied up? Office Depot has the latest technology when you're on the go, like a huge selection of notebook computers, wireless printers, networking solutions, and mobile accessories. Hurry in. Office Depot has unbeatable prices on everything you need to go wireless. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Whoa, Office Depot!
So, you're a consultant?
Yes, sir.
What's with the wall of sticky notes?
It's my small business accounting system. Unpaid invoices go on the purple ones.
And the green?
New customers.
So, unpaid bills are the yellow ones.
How'd you know?
I took a shot. You know, there's an easier way to manage your business.
Yeah?
Yeah, QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you write checks, send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't.
I'll switch. So, need a couple hundred sticky notes?
I'm going to pass on that. QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at Office Max, Best Buy, or Amazon.com.
I have brought peace, freedom, justice, and security to my new empire.
Your new empire? Anakin, my allegiance is to the Republic, to democracy!
If you're not with me, then you're my enemy.
Only a Sith deals in absolutes.
Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists.
This is how liberty dies, with thunderous applause.
downstairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Stuck in the middle with you.
Yes, I'm stuck
and happy
in the
about it.
With you.
This is Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen blogger, in hour number three of the Peter B. Collins Show, sitting in for the good and mighty PBC, who is out and about somewhere in Florida, broadcasting live today and tomorrow from Phoenix, Arizona, with the help of the good folks here at KPHX 1480, your Air America and Nova M Radio Network affiliate. They have just been great out here, so I want to thank them for that. And tomorrow, just, you know, I came down here, and just to make things harder, I said, well, if it's easy to do in the studio, let's make things harder and let's do a remote while I'm here. So what we're calling the Miracle in Maricopa County, we have been able to find a remote broadcast location, actually, to do our show tomorrow. We're going to have a big live house there. We hope you'll join us if you happen to be in the Phoenix area. Drive from wherever, though. It's going to be worth it. It's an election integrity a-palooza tomorrow. Live town hall forum at the Plumbers, and write this down, at the Plumbers and Pipefitters Union on 24th Street, right? You got to say street in this town. See, I'm learning. 24th Street and Earl, one block north of Earl. Did I get that right? No. One block. Damn, I was so close. 24th Street and Earl, one block north of Thomas. Come on out. Beginning at 4 p.m. Arizona time. If you can't be here for it, listen up over the internets and your local affiliate stations up and down the coast of California and into Oregon. And are we still in Alaska? I don't know. Up there. Wherever you can, spread the word. All right. Before we go to Margie Burns, our Brad Blog Libby trial correspondent, she was in court today, I believe. She's going to give us the latest there. I just want to make sure that everyone understands how the media, CNN, not just Fox News, but CNN, MSNBC, and all the rest are playing with your head. Bush is in trouble, big trouble. He knows it. So now, all of a sudden, Iran is the worst thing that we've ever heard of. We're in danger. Any moment now, they could be attacking us. Didn't we hear that before? Isn't that what the Libby trial is about? Yellow cake, bought uranium bought by Iraq. They're going to be here 45 minutes. They can drop an atomic bomb. Well, here they go again. Josh Marshall wrote yesterday, day before, as the saying goes, if it didn't exist, you'd have to invent it. So with that in mind, let's do a little prospective journalism. When the bogus Iran incident happens, that becomes the predicate for a military attack on Iran. What will it look like? Let's try to sketch it out in advance. Will it be a real incident in Iraq for which Iranians are blamed? Or will it be a complete bogus incident, something that never happened, that they're blamed for? Will we receive the news in manufactured evidence? Or will it come through unnamed leaks and Richard Pearl appearances on CNN? Some key requirements occur to me. Number one, despite being fake, the incident must seem reasonably credible. Now keep these in mind, because I'm going to play a clip from CNN in a second. Number two, it must appear serious enough that discounting its importance or questioning its veracity appears the height of unseriousness. And number three, it must place the majority of us in the odd and unexpected position of granting to President Bush the unfettered discretion to launch a war against Iran at the time and place of his choosing, despite our desire that he start it right now. Any other requirements? Josh Marshall asks over at talkingpointsmemo.com. One of my favorite blogs, by the way. Great reporter, Josh Marshall. Well, yeah, it'll be a phony incident, and they'll trump it up the way they did with the WMD in Iraq, and they'll do it again in Iran, and they are already doing it. This is the news that broke into the middle of the day yesterday, might have been the day before, with, of course, don't miss the very scary opening music here. You with me there, Ian? Okay, here we go.
This is CNN breaking news.
We're getting breaking news, potentially a very, very significant story about that sneak attack on a military compound, a U.S. military compound in the Iraqi town of Karbala that led to the deaths of five American soldiers in recent days.
Could agents from Iran have been responsible? Our Pentagon correspondent Barbara Starr has the story. Barbara?
Wolf, CNN has learned that military investigators are looking into the possibility that an attack on a Karbala compound January 20th that killed five U.S. troops may have been carried out by either Iranians or Iranian-trained operatives. This war.
All right, I'm pausing in here for a second. They're looking into the possibility. They're looking into the possibility that it may have been caused by Iran. This, they broke into news with the scary breaking news, the possibility that it might. Let's keep going.
This word coming from officials in more than one government agency. One official saying, quote, people are looking at this seriously.
People are looking at this seriously. This is CNN, guys. Breaking news. People are looking at the possibility that it might.
Officials emphasize this is only a preliminary look, that they have no final conclusion. But why are they looking out down this road? Why are they saying it is possible that Iranians were behind it? Officials saying it is the level of sophistication and coordination in how this attack was carried out, that it is far beyond the capabilities, they say, of the foreign fighters or the Shia militia groups that they have seen operate in the past. Some of the indicators they are looking at, the attackers appear to have spoken English fairly well. That helped them get past some of the checkpoints, how
this
they got maybe U.S.-style military uniforms, how they came into possession of vehicles similar to those used by U.S. troops. Five U.S. soldiers were killed in the attack, one at the site. Four of them, however, of course, were taken away. Two of them found handcuffed together in the back of one of the vehicles, shot dead.
Yeah.
Another soldier found shot dead on the road.
Now that's terrible. Obviously, that's terrible. But what they've done is they've conflated these two ideas. We've got five soldiers who are killed, two shot in the head, and it looks like the Iranians are behind it, according to this breaking news that actually has no news whatsoever.
And another soldier found barely alive but died on the way to the hospital. Wolf.
Barbara Starr, very, very disturbing information. The ramifications, potentially enormous. If the U.S. government concludes that Iranian agents killed those five American soldiers, a lot of people believe all bets would be off. But this is a preliminary investigation, as Barbara has just
mentioned. If it's preliminary, Wolf, why the hell are you breaking into regular programming to report it? The fact that it might be, that it could be, that they're considering looking into it, but that there actually is no evidence whatsoever other than speculation, and CNN feels it's necessary to scare the crap out of everyone. It's absolutely outrageous, and the American people need to know what the hell is going on, and we've got to do something about it because, you know, people buy it. They buy it. If you're not paying attention, that's a damn scary report. Anyway, wanted you to see what's going on. Pay attention out there, folks. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with Margie Burns right after this. You're listening to Brad Friedman on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wine, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
One-Day Income Tax Service, family-owned and operated since 1944, specializes in year-round professional tax preparation. Do you want your refund quickly? Stop by One-Day Income Tax Service. They offer tax preparation at reasonable rates and work to meet the needs of military families with the capacity to process all out-of-state returns. If you prefer to prepare your own return at home, they can help you expedite your refund by filing your return electronically. Let One-Day Income Tax Service assist you with your return and maximize your refund. Stop by 885 Broadway Avenue in Seaside, where no appointment is necessary. Looking for quick, professional, and reasonable tax return preparation? Visit One-Day Income Tax Service, 885 Broadway Avenue, Seaside, or call 394-8010. That's 831-394-8010. One-Day Income Tax Service, where you walk in with a copy of your most recent tax return, personal ID, and W-2 1099 info for 2006, and you walk out with your completed tax return.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Well, good afternoon. I'm Frank Sullivan with a look at traffic on KRXA 540. We're going to go out to the fish hook as we have for the past couple of reports, and that means some stop-and-go traffic on that connector from southbound 17 down to southbound Highway 1. That now still continues through downtown Capitola. A little bit of tightening that we're seeing heading into the Coyote Valley out of the Santa Clara Valley. That's between 85 and Coyote Creek, but that's really just in stretches. And Highway 9 at Encinal, construction work through the end of this month. One-way traffic control in effect Mondays through Thursdays from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., Fridays 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. That word brought to you by Welch's 100% Grape Juice. The American Heart Association recommends a diet rich in antioxidants. So where can you find them? Welch's 100% Grape Juice. I'm Frank Sullivan with traffic on KRXA 540.
I didn't know her name and didn't leak her name. This is at the Justice Department. I'm confident that the U.S. Attorney, the prosecutor who's involved in looking at this, is going to do a very thorough job of doing a very substantial and conclusive investigation. I didn't know her name and didn't leak her name.
Come with me and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look and you'll see into your imagination.
I didn't know her name and didn't leak her name.
Can't help it.
We'll begin with a spin, traveling in the world of my creation. What we'll see will defy explanation.
Defying explanation. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Sitting in, guest hosting this week for the rest of the week, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Glad you can be with us here. We're speaking of pure imagination. We're speaking with, or we're about to speak with, Margie Burns, a freelance reporter in D.C. whose articles have appeared in Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Miami Herald, Detroit Free Press, Washington Post. But most importantly, her greatest accomplishment of all, she's now the Brad Blog special correspondent to the Scooter Libby trial out there in D.C. We're delighted to have her there. I'm told just now, breaking news, she has posted her latest story, I think, to the Brad Blog.
Yes, you did.
Scooping us here on the Peter B. Collins Show, but nice going. Can't think of a better place to do it. Hi, Margie. How are you today?
Hello, just fine. Oh, listen, I just, before I forget, I just noticed on Brad's blog that you have something about my appearing on the show, and you say from the courtroom. I do want to make it clear that it's deep night here on the East Coast. I'm not speaking from the courtroom. I'm speaking from my home, and of course, nobody would be permitted to speak from the courtroom.
Speak from the courtroom, although if this was CNN or MSNBC, I would make you stand out there in the cold in front of the courtroom. So you could say you were reporting from the courtroom, Margie.
Yeah, with a big picture behind me making it look as though I were in the courtroom.
That's right. And since this is radio, you didn't have to tell anybody that at all. You can, as a matter of fact, you can say you're sitting at Judge Walton's desk right now.
No. I have the utmost respect for the judge. I would not want to do that.
You do?
Yes, indeed.
He
strikes me as very fair. I am not an attorney, of course, but
I'm glad to hear that.
He strikes me as very fair and very balanced. Everything I've heard him say has been, quite clear.
I'm glad to hear that because I've had a great deal of concern about Walton for various reasons and what he's done in the Sybelle Edmonds case. So, good. I'm glad to know that and to get give us your impressions. Of course, first let's start off with what happened today in that Libby trial. Who was testifying today?
Okay, today, most of the day was spent in arguing out legal matters between the defense and the prosecution without the jury in the room. So, in other words, most of the day, and I was there, they didn't start until 10:30, later than usual. I was there all day. Most of the day, in other words, was not testimony. The witness, the one witness whose testimony was covered, at least under the government's side of the questioning, came in the middle of the afternoon. Her name is Deborah S. Bond, B-O-N-D, like James Bond, and she's the FBI agent who is the case agent for the CIA leak matter. And her testimony was very interesting, to say the least. That's what the Brad blog post that I just put up is, a quick rundown of just what Libby covered, or what she, or what the, not she, but the investigators covered in Libby's two FBI interviews.
Now, this is actually...
Before I get to that, the arguments between the defense and the prosecution were also rather interesting, even though, of course, they don't contain... It's, different because they don't contain sworn testimony. You don't have somebody in the witness stand speaking under oath. But one thing, one little item of information you could not miss listening to the back and forth was that the defense is just adamant on trying to prevent any showing of videotapes they're arguing over every exhibit that the prosecution wants to submit into evidence that has to do with videotaping, like, for example, a videotape of Scott McClellan, the former White House press secretary.
Sure.
Doing a press gaggle and addressing questions from reporters about the CIA leak matter.
What basis is the defense using to keep that video evidence from coming in?
Well, they don't. Well, one argument they use is that the same material, or at least the same statements, are included in Libby's grand jury testimony. Now, I have not yet seen the transcript of that testimony, but I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm sure most of it, at least, is. The basic issues are in there. Hey, there was this leak, and here's what we're investigating. Here are the questions. Here are your answers. But the reason, another reason, or the main reason, I suppose, that they don't want the videos to come in is that, as the attorney said repeatedly, the videos would be prejudicial. You have these reporters asking Scott McClellan whether somebody deliberately released or leaked classified information, and of course Libby, the defendant in this current matter, is not even accused of doing that. What he's accused of is, on five counts, is lying and obstructing the investigation.
Yeah. Now, what is the sense that you get? What would be demonstrative about these videos? In other words, why do you sense the prosecution wants to show them to establish
state of mind? State of mind is the phrase that kept being used. The point is, the point they're making is that regardless of whether Libby deliberately leaked anything, which, of course, he's not being, as I said, he's not being accused of or charged with, Regardless of that, he had already shown in no uncertain terms that he was worried about the accusation. He was worried about the possibility of losing his job, being investigated, and so, you know, and so forth. And he, in that state of mind, in that frame of mind, he even went to Scott McClellan and then to the vice president's office, as the defense itself says, to say, in effect, you exonerated Karl Rove, now I want you to exonerate me. And then, once the administration had made that line, then, according to the government, you know, according to the prosecution, Libby had a motive to Hugh to make untrue statements to toe the administration line. In fact, he pretty much had to.
I want to get a sense. We've got to get to a break here. I want to get a sense from you after the break about the mood in the courtroom and this notion, because it feels from out here that Libby is just throwing away the pardon, throwing away the White House, doing everything he can to save himself. I'd like to get your thoughts on that, and as well to point out the fact, you can correct me actually after the break if I'm wrong about this, but it seems like the CIA caseworker, all of this talk about, Valerie Plame, she wasn't even covert, sort of goes out the window, as Joe Wilson pointed out to me actually many months ago when I talked to him, that in fact it was the CIA who requested this investigation in the first place from the Justice Department. It hardly seems that they would do so if it wasn't if something hadn't been violated there, particularly the identity of a covert operative. We're going to talk to Margie Burns about that and much more after this break, and John Bonifatz a little bit later. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Brad Friedman.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
Billy Sunshine Show.
Billy Sunshine Show.
With Pilar. With Pilar.
Sunday at 3 o'clock, we're going to be doing something new, something different, or we'll do the same old thing, take your phone calls. One thing we know for sure, I'll have something to say. What? I don't know. I never know until I've said it. Find out what's the next thing to come out of my mouth.
The Billy Sunshine Show with Pilar.
Sundays from 3 to 5. 3 to 5.
On AM 540. KRXA.
I was not going to respond to Novak's article publicly. And then finally, Chris Matthews called me and said, I just got off the phone with Karl Rove. He says, and I quote, Wilson's wife is fair game.
I didn't know her name and didn't leak her name.
The president knows that Karl Rove wasn't involved. How does he know that?
Well, I made it very clear that it was a ridiculous suggestion in the first place, and I said it is simply not true. So, it's public knowledge. I've said that it's not true.
I didn't know her name and didn't leak her name.
It's of keen interest to me to see whether or not we can get Karl Rove frog marched out of the White House in handcuffs.
Peter B. Collins Show. I am your friendly citizen blogger, guest hosting tonight for PBC, Brad Friedman. We're speaking with Margie Burns, freelance reporter, special correspondent to the Brad blog, live from the courtroom of, no, I know Margie, reporporting from today's Libby trial where she was in attendance. Now she's, of course, back home. And before the break, I was asking, does it underscore, did I understand it correctly, that you had the CIA caseworker who was who had requested this investigation in the first place, which underscores the fact that Valerie Plame was, in fact, covert. Can we now put that aside with this testimony at all, Margie?
Well, I don't know who in the CIA requested the investigation. I can't. I don't know whether that's come out. But I have heard no emphasis from the defense on any point that Mrs. Wilson was not covert. One of the earliest witnesses at this moment, I can't remember which one, but one of the earliest witnesses for the prosecution testified in a very matter-of-fact way and, you know, so far without any rebuttal, that the counterproliferation division in which Mrs. Wilson worked was mostly covert. Most of the people in it were covert.
And and one would think that this would have come up, even if Judge Walton would have allowed it or not. It seems like it would have come up somehow into this trial if that was not the case. I'm just, you know, sick and tired of these, frankly, these wing nuts who are running around still to this day saying Valerie Plame Wilson was not covert. What's the...
I think ignorance is, you know, lack of information has got to be a factor in that kind of line. I mean, I don't see that argument would hold water.
Well, you're...
It's not specifically relevant to this trial, of course, since, you know, Libby is not charged with leaking classified information anyway. But
well,
no,
you're...
I mean,
You're very generous.
I haven't heard anybody hammer that. Yeah.
You're very generous to say it's a lack of information, because if they don't know it by now, this many years later, I don't think it's a lack of information. I don't think they want to know, and I think they're disingenuous creeps trying to do anything they can to apologize for the bad guys here who clearly knew what the hell was going on. And in fact, yesterday it came out that there was a note from Cheney that implicates the Prez, as he put it in the note, and that note we've got up on Bradblog, as knowing about this. Now, what is the sense that you get in that courtroom? Is Libby, Scooter Libby here and his attorneys, are they just saying the hell with the White House, the hell with our pardon, we ain't going to get one, we've got to save ourselves here at this point?
Well, I think listening, you can't help wondering about that. But, I don't mean to disappoint you, but I certainly don't have an answer. Libby's got at least a six-member legal team with him. You know, both the government and the defense have sizable tables surrounded with attorneys and, you know, other personnel. And Libby's got just as many lawyers working on his side as the prosecution has working on its side, as far as I can tell. And I have noticed when at different times different attorneys get up to, cross-examine the witnesses, that they're not clones. I'll put it that way. They're not all alike. I'm talking now about the defense attorneys. I mean,
yeah, there's
people they wouldn't be. But what I mean is that one of the attorneys seems to have a much more aggressively pro-president, pro-war attitude than I have been able to detect from anything else that I've heard in the courtroom.
So,
I don't mean to sound cynical here, but that's the kind of thing that makes you feel sorry for a defendant, because the worst thing a lawyer can do is. I actually can't accuse anybody in this current event of this, but the worst thing a lawyer can do is not protect his own client.
So some people on that
team... So it would be a little bit odd. I mean, I have no idea exactly how the defense case is... I mean, I can't say how the defense case is going to go. The defense has not presented yet. We've heard only the government witnesses so far.
But you can confirm that some on the team seem to be perhaps protecting the White House, the president, while others don't seem to be quite as interested in that.
That's right. That's the way it sounds to me, from what I have heard so far.
Okay, yeah. And now as far as Dick Cheney, because this is hard to tell from out here, while Libby seems willing in some of this testimony, they seem to be willing to throw the White House under the bus to a certain extent. Are they sticking by the vice president, or at least the guy who calls himself Vice President Dick Cheney?
I don't see how that could possibly. No, I wouldn't say so. One of the first things, when the FBI agent testified today in a very organized, kind of low-key way, she just went through point by point what Libby said in his two FBI interviews. And one of the first things that Libby said in his FBI interview on October the 14th, 2003, was that he learned that Mrs. Wilson, Joe Wilson's wife, was in the CIA from Vice President Cheney. He said he had learned that on about June the 12th of 2003. He learned it in a phone conversation with Vice President Cheney. And his note from that conversation is an exhibit, you know, a government exhibit, piece of evidence, handwritten note. With about the same kind of handwriting we all have when we're on the phone. And either that or another one indicates that the vice president said she was in, quote, CP, meaning, you know, counterproliferation division. So it's obviously, Libby, even rather early on, that is all the way back to October 2003, when the investigation was only about a month old or whatever it was at the time, you know, even then he was not trying to conceal the fact that he got his information and his orders from the vice president's office.
Now,
and given that he is the vice president's chief of staff, I can't imagine what universe he would do that. I mean, you know, why would they?
Margie Burns, I'm going to have to point folks over to Brad Blog for more of your excellent coverage. Please keep it coming over there. One last quick question before I have to roll here. There was an item I caught, I think it was in Leopold's Truth Outs coverage yesterday. They talked about the fact that there was that the note that came out that we were talking about earlier that references the Prez in knowing about this to a certain extent. Was one of some 250 emails that the White House had previously refused to disclose. Do you get the sense that more and more of these documents that the White House did not want to put out, but Libby has them and that they will be entering the trial?
No, I can't really say that I do. There have been rumors even that Cheney would be pressured into testifying, you know, Cheney himself, and somehow I just cannot imagine his appearing in the witness box. But we'll see. I mean, I cannot predict, you know, exactly what kind of defense will be presented.
He said he's going to testify. Hasn't he already said that, or has he just said, I may be called to testify?
I didn't know that it was that certain. You may be more up to date on that than I have been.
Well, and we know that Rove has been subpoenaed.
Set in concrete.
Gotcha. We know Rove has been subpoenaed, but we don't know if he's going to testify yet either. I'm going to have to run here, Margie. You're doing a terrific job. Really appreciate you touching base here. And go over to bradblog.com to see Margie's fresh report just up minutes ago, I believe, before you came on the air.
And not from the courtroom.
And not from the courtroom, but shortly thereafter, because you were there today, right, Margie?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, good. Just wanted to make sure.
Good.
Margie Burns, thanks a bunch, our bradblog.com correspondent. We're going to take a quick break. Come back with John Bonifaz, who's going to fill us in on what's going on down in Florida 13. Oh, man. Election integrity, it matters. If we had any, we wouldn't be in this mess we're in. Back for our last segment shortly. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your friendly citizen, investigative blogger Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. More in a bit. Hey, come on out tomorrow to the Plumbers and Pipefitters Union. We'd love to see you there live. More info after this.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
People are talking about the show. Weekday mornings 9 to 10 on KRXA 540. Does it really suck less?
You guys are, in many ways, so self-referential that it doesn't let a guy like me feel like he can be part of the conversation.
We try not to be too self-referential, and we'll try to catch ourselves. I appreciate your call.
I wish I knew what that meant.
I wish I knew what that meant. Okay. But you're sucking less than you used to.
Down in Monterey.
And good afternoon, I'm Frank Sullivan with a look at traffic on KRXA 540. We have a couple of things to tell you about this hour. One is on westbound 68 at San Venancio Road. You're going to find a stall. One of the lanes is reportedly blocked there. Again, this is westbound on Highway 68 at San Venancio Road. That, of course, a big connector if you're heading towards Monterey from Salinas. One of the lanes reportedly blocked. As we told you pretty much all afternoon long, still slow and go on the Fishhook from southbound 17, still through downtown Capitola, and southbound 101, we're seeing a little bit of tightening now, a tenant in the Coyote Valley. And that brought to you once again by Welch's 100% grape juice. The American Heart Association recommends a diet rich in antioxidants. So where can you find them? Welch's 100% grape juice. It's full of antioxidants. I'm Frank Sullivan on KR.
What is known, and the evidence is clear, I'm not alone. There are thousands of us here. This is my democracy. You won't go telling me my vote don't matter anymore.
won't say it to me, but you can try.
Our vote is well worth fighting for.
You won't get very far. Fighting for every vote. This is your friendly citizen blogger, Brad Friedman, sitting in for Peter B. Collins, broadcasting today live out of the 1480 KPHX affiliate station down here in Phoenix. Glad you could be with us for our last segment. Going to have John Bonifaz with you shortly. But I must tell you, tomorrow I will be guest hosting once again for the mighty PBC, but we'll be doing a live town hall forum, which you've slapped together at the last minute. Who knows who's going to show up? I hope it'll be you if you happen to be in the Phoenix area. The fact that we're pulling this together at all, I call the miracle in Maricopa County. A joke that maybe only people in Phoenix will get. And maybe not even everyone in Phoenix, for that matter. But anyway, come on down to Plumbers and Pipe Fitters Union Hall tomorrow, 24th Street and Earl, one block north of Thomas. We'd love to see you there. Beginning the broadcast begins at 4 p.m. Arizona time. Don't be late. Going to be fun. Audit AZ, Arizona Advocacy Network, VelvetRevolution.us, and, of course, 1480 KPHX. Don't know if we'll have time or not, but if you want, you can try to call us. We may already have Dave on the line, but you can try to give us a call at 1-888-5-PETER-B. I've been terrible about hitting calls. I'm just too distracted and too busy. That's 888-573-8372. All right, I want to get over right over to John Bonifaz here for the last few minutes. John Bonifaz, a democracy fellow at Demos, founder of the National Voting Rights Institute. Founder, right, John? Am I
yeah.
right? Okay. And now working with VoterAction.org on the contested U.S. House election in Florida's 13th Congressional District. Yes, it's still contested. Between Democratic candidate Christine Jennings and Vern Buchanan, the Republican, where 369 votes separate the two of them in the official count, as reported by the paperless ES&S touchscreen voting machines down there, despite the fact that some 18,000 votes have disappeared entirely down in Sarasota. John, thanks for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me, Brett.
I wanted to catch up on a couple of things in the few minutes we have left. I overbooked. Sorry. First, the latest down there in Sarasota. Where are we? What's the disposition of that case at this time? And then I want to get into the news of the Florida governor a bit.
Sure. Well, first, what's happened here is that there's been an appeal on the district court's decision not to allow access to the source code for these machines, which clearly is critical to investigating what happened. And that appeal is pending before the Court of Appeals in Florida. And Kathy Dent, the supervisor of elections in Sarasota County, had sought to dismiss the appeal, and the appeals court recently denied that effort to dismiss it. So it's proceeding forward with further briefing, and we will be filing a reply brief by the end of February, and there will likely be oral argument after that. The other matter that's happening is that there is an election scheduled in Sarasota County for March 13th, and Kathy Dent has indicated that she wants to use some of these machines again. Of course, the danger with that is that when you use machines, you can often engage in erasing the data from the prior election. So this has been already publicized in Sarasota County, her interest in using some of these machines, and I can tell you we're making every effort to do what we can to preserve the critical evidence in this case and allowing us to further investigate what happened.
Now, I had heard that the judge had gone ahead and granted her, maybe my info was wrong or misunderstood it. Did the judge go ahead and grant her use of X number of machines, not all of them, but just some of them for this upcoming election down there?
That has actually not happened yet. In fact, okay. What the papers reported over this past weekend is that submitted to the judge. But there has been no court action yet on Kathy Dent's efforts.
Okay. Now, I want to, since we don't have a lot of time, I want to get a couple of points here. First, they use touchscreen machines down there, commonly known as DREs, Direct Recording Electronic, that have no paper trail whatsoever. Now, huge news, as I'm sure you've heard, the Republican governor has come out with Congressman Wexler, the Democrat, and proposed, I think they're going to propose some $32 million to replace all of those paperless touchscreen machines with paper-based optical scan systems. Now, those have their own security concerns, but at least you've got a paper ballot. That, to me, is huge news, especially coming as it does from down there in Florida. But there seems to be this perception that, oh, if we only added a so-called paper trail to these touchscreen machines like the ones they use down in Florida, that that would take care of things. Would, in fact, if there was paper trails, the so-called voter-verified paper audit trails on the touchscreen machines down there in Florida, would that have taken care of this problem and kept us out of the mess that we're now in with Florida 13?
Absolutely not. I mean, the fact is the Sarasota story is really now the new epicenter of this overall debate with respect to DRE technology, counting and recording our votes. A paper trail in Sarasota would not have caught the thousands of undervotes that were ultimately lost in this, alleged undervotes that were lost in this congressional race. And the reason is that most people do not engage in verifying the piece of paper that comes out of these machines where there are paper trails. And so you'll have thousands of people walking out of the polls not realizing that their vote that they had tried to cast was not being properly recorded and counted. That's why we have to have, at the end of the day, a paper ballot as the official ballot of record for deriving voter intent. And it can be scanned through an optical scan machine, but we ought to have something on paper that has either been marked by hand or by a ballot marking device that can be audited and recounted. And these DRE machines do not provide that ability whatsoever.
And so with the optical scan, you've got a paper-based system where, by design, they're voter-verified because the voter has actually marked it down. I mean, some people argue that, oh, the paper trail, they can verify that before putting it in. But it's really, it becomes a two-step process. They're much less likely to look at it, whereas with a paper-based system, op-scan system, they have to verify it because they have to fill in the bubbles. Correct?
Correct. I mean, the fact is it really gets to the philosophy of how we view the vote. If we view it as a right, then it seems to me that we don't have all these hurdles for people to cast their vote and have it be counted. If we view it as a privilege, then we pass on all these other responsibilities to the voter to, you know, go through the touchscreen DRE machine and then on top of that read through all the votes that have been printed out of that machine, make sure every single one has been properly recorded. I mean, this I think stretches, you know, what we should see the vote being. And I think if we're going to go back to the fundamental of the vote being a right guaranteed to all of us, then we have to have a paper ballot based system where we can properly audit and recount the process and ensure the integrity of our elections.
So it seems to me, I've made this case, see if you agree or not, but it seems to me if there was a so-called paper trail on those touchscreen machines in Sarasota, that the only difference would have been is that we likely would have seen quite as many alleged undervotes, but there would have been no case because they would have said, oh, look, there's the paper, it's their fault, election over, basically, and there would be no contest at all.
It would be a lot tougher to mount a challenge, and it would give people a false sense of security that we have solved the problem we really haven't. You've made the analogy yourself, Brad, and I think it's a right one. It's like putting a stronger seatbelt in a Ford Pinto. It's still going to explode. What's the point of the seatbelt? I mean, this is a disaster to have these DRE machines counting and recording our votes, whether they have paper trails or not. And I think that the Sarasota story shows us that we need to do away with this technology and have a paper ballot-based system that can guarantee that our votes are being properly counted all across the country.
Well, if I made that analogy, it must be true. So thanks for pointing that out. And I just hope that the Democrats in Congress who are putting together legislation, introducing it right now, figure that out. They close the door on these touchscreen machines. There's a lot of other security issues to deal with, but you've got to get rid of these damn DREs, or especially as we head into another presidential election. I don't see how this democracy can survive another one like it with those machines. John Bonifaz, thanks. as ever, short on time. I overbook. That's what I do. But I really appreciate you stopping by and your continued good work down there, both in D.C., up in Massachusetts, and now down in Florida. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Brad, for all you do.
You bet. All right. Thank you, John Bonifaz. And what, are we at the end here? We've made it. We got out. All right. 3 hours. Well done, guys. I want to thank everyone. We're going to be back tomorrow. I want to thank everyone here at KPHX 1480, including Jeff Farias, Billy Foster, Ian Huff, Desi Doyen. God love you. Thank you for making it possible. Matt Renner up there somewhere in Monterey, I think. And, of course, to the mighty PBC for allowing us to ruin his show. Thank you. We enjoyed it. We're going to be back ruining it again tomorrow from at the same hour here. And we want to invite everyone in Phoenix to come on down to the Plumbers and Pipe Fitters Union for our town hall special event, Election Integrity in Arizona and Across the Country. I'll be there broadcasting live. I'd love if you joined us. If you're anywhere near Phoenix, it's going to be a hoot. We're going to have a lot of people there, including John Brakey, who just walked into the studio. So you folks in Arizona may know him. Brakey and Jim March, holy cow, they're going to be there tomorrow as well. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Have I thanked everyone, Des? Did I hit everyone? Can I get the hell out of here? All right. Hey, thanks, PBC. I'm mounting up Trigger. Thanks for leaving him here for me. Thanks, guys. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. Good night.
Others are blue. Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. In the Senate today, an overwhelming vote to raise the federal minimum wage.
The yeas are 94, the nays are 3. The bill as amended is passed.
In a concession to Republicans, this bill includes tax breaks for small businesses that employ many minimum wage workers. Democrat Ted Kennedy can live with that.
This is a moral issue about what kind of country this is going to be. And tonight, the United States Senate got it right.
If the House goes along with the Senate's changes, pay would go from $5.15 to $7.25 an hour over 2 years.
I'm Dan Revive in Washington. The National Restaurant Association thanks the Senate for including new tax breaks for small businesses, including quicker deductions for renovations and new construction. The restaurant lobby asks the House to do the same, but also warns that doesn't completely mitigate the impact of a higher minimum wage, adding that prices at restaurants will have to go up. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
If you're having trouble making ends meet, you're hardly alone. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason on today's report from the Commerce Department.
Again last year, Americans spent more than they earned. The personal savings rate was negative 1%. We've had a negative savings rate only 4 times in history, the past 2 years, and twice more way back in the Great Depression.
A negative savings rate means people are dipping into their savings or borrowing to pay their bills. It was Casey at the bat today as President Bush's nominee for Army Chief of Staff faced the Senate Armed Services Committee and sometimes disagreed with the Commander-in-Chief.
Now in his final days as the top commander in Iraq, General George Casey told the Senate Armed Services Committee he did not want all the additional troops the president is sending.
I believe that the job in Baghdad, as it's designed now, can be done with less than that.
Although he supports the president's plan, Casey said he only wanted about 11,000 more troops.
CBS News correspondent David Martin. An ugly night in Gaza. At least six people have died in gun battles that broke out after Hamas militants attacked a convoy carrying supplies to security forces of the rival Fatah faction. The fighting comes just 3 days after an Egyptian mediator brokered a truce.